Tebu here, cucking this transmission to bring you some very greasy news. We have officially launched our fourth wall subscription platform and merch shop. We currently have one tier available for $5 a month called Cajun Cousins that gives you bonus episodes and content, entry to a special section of our Discord, and an exclusive nightclub app that you can download onto your mobile device. This thing looks incredible and gives you easy access to the fourth wall and our merch shop. No, you don't have to subscribe to buy any of our merch, but you do have to throw down $5 for the episodes, the app, and other perks. The fourth wall episodes consist of rotating topics that include myths and legends, true crime, conspiracy theories, and macabre history. Each host brings a story to the table and we cut up. There will be other topics included over time, so jump in there right now and get in on the action. Our merch shop also includes variants of official nightclub t-shirts, tank tops, a first edition of the nightclub button set, because there's going to be more coming down the line, and a candle you can light when you commune with the nightclub. We will be dropping new items as time goes by, so stay tuned. There will be a link to our fourth wall and our Discord in the show notes, so gaze upon our wares and please consider subscribing. For the price of a beer or a coffee, you can help support some couillons like us, and we greatly appreciate it. I want to thank everyone that's already signed up, bought some shirts, tank tops, buttons, downloaded the episodes. It's overwhelming and heartwarming. We appreciate the support. Thank you all for being a friend. Now, back to your greasy program. So everyone's got their we'll get a little intro going, and then I guess we'll everyone's got their records. We'll do the records.
I just ate supper, so I'm gonna go smoke real quick.
Yeah,
I say we take a 3.5 minute recess.
I'll shit on your chest.
I'll rub it in my chest.
It's gonna get greasy, y'all.
I'm gonna go fuck somebody's mom.
Yeah,
do it. You fuck that mom.
I heard you and Tuna. I heard y'all.
Fuck her hard.
Yeah, boy.
And I deserved every bit of it. Very nice.
Very nice.
Ha 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 ha.
Y'all are like, he has a phone. Why doesn't he use his phone?
To get He's back. Like, I'm lost. I'm like, use maps, motherfucker.
And dude. I couldn't even think to fucking tell. I was like, oh yeah, I should have told him that.
Yeah, yeah. Ricky was like, oh, that's right. We could have told him that. I was like, yeah, bro. We live in a modern age. It's not 2007 anymore, cuz.
We shouldn't be wired to be like living in 95 anymore. We should be evolved by now.
Dude, I was telling them on my phone that I'm lost, and I'm on my phone.
Travis got drunk, he time traveled and attacked Dan Rathers.
Yep. I have a superpower. If I get so drunk, I can travel through time. The next morning.
The next morning.
And I don't remember shit.
Don't remember jack shit. No.
Travis.
You got the time travel amnesia.
It takes a lot of work to be this bad.
Yep.
I didn't work hard. I didn't work hard at all to be a piece of shit. So, fuck you.
Well, that's what we call being gifted.
You're a prodigy.
Yeah, you're a prodigy, all right.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to post his actual manifesto. By the way, the title of it is My Twisted World.
My Twisted World.
Yeah. I'm going to post that in the thing for y'all if y'all want to look at it. Because, humanity. All of my suffering on this world has been at the hands of humanity. Particularly women. Like, that's how he starts. That's line one. Like, I told Ricky, this thing is fucking massive, dude. Hold on. Let me see how many pages this thing is. 141 Damn. Pages. 141 pages.
Yeah, that's too many pages, bro.
What a fucking nerd, dude. I'm not reading that many pages.
I'm not saying you have to. I didn't, but I'm just posting it if y'all want it. It's there.
Oh, I'm calling Elliot Rogers a nerd.
He is a fucking cuck nerd, man. God damn, that dude sucks. go. Hey, did y'all see the photo of him?
Yeah.
He's not a bad looking guy, right?
He's not.
It's like, dude, you could totally have scored women if you would have not have been a dumbass.
Yeah.
Fucking
bitch. I know from personal experience, a bad personality though can drive people to be like, well, that's just no good.
It never stopped me.
Ricky's like, I've been a piece of shit my whole life, and my dick's always been wet,
greasy, even.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not dry like her pussy hair was. Like it was like grass.
Like you see in those documentaries about Africa, all dry and orangey. Yeah,
we don't need her.
She was gross. Yeah,
she
was kind of gross.
Along the way, he's like, yeah, she was kind of gross.
Ricky, this is your episode, so if you want, you can take us in. If not, I have something written.
What you have written? Well, it's a surprise?
Your mom?
It's not a surprise.
I didn't write anything to take us in.
But you can if you want to.
I'm not going to write anything, but maybe I'll wing it.
Okay.
Wings.
I'm Ricky Prickles.
No,
and wings? What the fuck?
What?
Hot wings. Well, you got to start the show.
Yeah, Cody, come on. Starting it.
Welcome to the night.
Sorry.
Oh, you go. You go. Oh.
Welcome to the nightclub, cut.
We about to get Cosmic cut.
maybe for when we do really ridiculous, dumb movies like this, that's when I should use the rap song, because we get in Cosmic.
You should. I want a really long, pretentious intro song, Travis, and I want it fucking now.
You got it, baby. Oh.
Midnight ritual, breaking the locks on grandma's box, review whatever rocks your socks. Attention please, our essential will never ease. We feel solace, absolution, let's make it witchy, there's no confusion. You got blind spots, you're turning a blind eye. If the latter applies, see it through with your mind's eye. The question now is how high the symmetry. We're a multitude, erratically and systematically. We abide, abroad at noon, a brute at night, losing the law of physics. What a ride. This shit is out of sight. Hey, welcome to the welcome to the nightclub cup. We bout to get cosmic cup. Sipping suds like we in a pub. 10 out of 10, bitch, fuck. We getting visceral on our midnight ritual. Breaking the locks on grandma's box. Review whatever rocks your socks. Sip it slow, break it down, roll it up. Let's get loaded, then reload. Thrills to fill the void, pills to kill the noise. A group of fanatics acting erratic, it's fucking fantastic. We're going ballistic, causing friction, call it fiction. But it's our disposition, it's our addiction. This shit is dope as fuck. So stay spooky, bitches.
Bullshit, Vianu de la Boite de Nuit. Welcome to the nightclub. Where horror comes to party, where we cook greasy. I'm Travis Maxwell-Boone, and I'm detecting the unmistakable scent of, wait for it,
horseshit.
No, your answer is completely wrong.
Asshole.
Wait.
What's the answer?
Horseshit.
Hey, that's what I said.
And tonight, I'm joined by
Ricky Prickles. I've got ripped up abs that feel like frozen sausages. And if you don't shut the fuck up, I'm going to molest you and make you throw up orange and fizzy on the carpet. That wouldn't be fun for anyone except me.
We also have tonight.
Yeah, boy. It's your NGC Trev. I'm a Cajun. So, of course, when I add my grease, I like to season it too. A little bit of cayenne, a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper. Ain't nothing wrong with some spiced up grease in your life.
I thought he said in some nut. Put some nut in that grease cup. Spicy nut grease.
Great. Add a little bit of protein, bro.
Speaking of nut grease, we also have.
Hey, our body is Cody Co. And shout out to all my ladies out there.
Yeah.
If they want some of this boy's grease, hit me up. Hit me up on my main number. I accept cash and packs of Oreo cookies.
Your main number?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay. They're going to slip and slide all the way to that boy's house. They wet.
Damn it.
Slug Trail, boss.
Tonight, we're going to talk about a movie, and this to me should be, Cody, this is what I wanted to ask you. A movie like tonight's movie belongs in the same category as movies like Uncle Peckerhead, Mystics in Bali, Night of the Demon, Night of Something Strange. These movies all take place in that world. You know what I'm talking about? That, like, you remember that world?
That world, and all because it's like, the world around them, I had a sense at one point that it was on a cosmic level because of just how nonsensical they were as human beings, like just themselves.
Absurd. You know? Yeah.
Absurd. Yeah, the soundtrack. I feel like in that world, you can actually hear the soundtrack in real life. Like you'd hear it just doing your day-to-day tasks.
This is exactly the movie that I needed.
Good.
Tonight's movie is The Greasy The Greasy Strangler from 2016. I'm glad it was the movie you needed, man. I didn't know this was the movie I needed, but it turned out to be.
I've only been telling Travis for 3 years about it, so you know, give him a break.
I do get around to it, and when I do, this happens.
Oh yeah,
it's amazing, man. I cannot believe this shit got made.
I watched a long line of like really dark movies, and this was like just. Awesome.
A great palate cleanser, right?
We need to do that.
Yeah.
We've only got 6 episodes floating around that we're not sure what order they come out in, so give us a break.
Yeah. We busy, cuh.
We've been busy, mate.
We're busy,
the yeah, bruv.
On the mate, governor, bruv. Yeah, bruvna. Bruvna.
Bruvna. I reckon, mate.
Are you a bruvna?
Are you a Bravna, cuh?
Cuckvna?
Cuckvabrugna.
Cuckna. Are you a cuckna?
Okay.
Lobster!
Before Cody quits the episode. I love how mad he gets. Look at him.
I'm sorry, Cody.
Cody, you need an enema.
Yeah, bro. Cody took off his glasses for that one. He's like, fuck y'all.
All right, before tonight's film, we're going to go ahead and drop the needle. It's time for some Mickey's Ripping Riffs. All right. I'll start us off tonight unless somebody wants to jump and go first.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Go ahead, cuh.
Cuh.
Bring it in, cuh. What you got to listen to?
I want to get you cats hip to an album that came out in 2006. Ooh. I bought this on a whim. I might have recommended this album before, but I haven't gone back to write down all the Ricky's Ripping Riffs, so I don't give a shit. It's getting recommended again because I've been listening to songs from it. Specifically one I'm going to point out in a second. But back in 2006, I bought this record on a whim because the cover art was looking good. I went home. I popped it on. Started listening to it, and I was like, nah, not feeling it.
Yeah.
And I heard a song from it, Actually, I think I heard the one song from it before I bought it. So maybe it wasn't on a whim. I think I bought it because of the song Lazy Eye. I heard this track on the radio and was like, damn, this band fucking kicks ass, dude. Picked up Carnivas by Silver Sun Pickups. And that first listen wasn't too good. A few months later, I popped it in because I owned it. And I'm like, I want to give this album another chance. And my fucking God. Dude, damn. The song that I've been coming back to lately.
Lazy Eye.
No, it's been Rusted Wheel. What about it? Like, it's just got this slow plodding sort of like drum throughout the whole thing, and it feels like a big build. And the song actually has a sound like a celestial rusted wheel that's starting to turn again. That's the image.
That's dope. I've got something with that sound too for tonight, because that's what I would explain. Yeah, go ahead. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. That's I'm cool. High, ball. Yeah. Yeah, Bob.
That's the kind
I can't
of
afford
like...
beer right now. I don't got no beer.
Aww.
Getting high as fuck. I mean, I got one beer.
Hell yeah.
For tonight.
And hell yes.
Hell yes.
This album is in the realm of alternative rock, strongly indie, and I would say like shoegaze music, which shoegaze music is just a term, but the sound of it is unmistakable. You go back to the originators, basically the originators of it, or at least they're heralded as it, is My Bloody Valentine. They put out an album. Oh, come on, memory, don't fail me now. Oh, it's a classic album from the early 90s, man. I have to look it up because it's going to kill me.
Oh, they wrote... Yeah, I know what song you're talking about. That's... Block Is Hot with Lil Wayne. Yeah. I remember when that came out in the 90s.
You talking to Cody?
No, I'm talking to all of y'all.
What the fuck?
The Block Is Hot was a big hit, man.
Yeah, it was. That was the Silver Sun Pickups.
No.
No. That was My Bloody Valentine with the album in there.
The album I'm talking about is Loveless by My Bloody Valentine. That's like the OG shoegaze music album. But this record has strong influences. And
I bet it's awful.
No, it's fucking dope, dude. They started calling it new gaze, like new metal. They started calling it new gaze because a bunch of bands started doing this shit around this time in the mid-2000s. And Silver Sun was fucking... They were doing... From start to finish, though, like, I'm straight up, this album's a 10 out of 10. Easy 10 out of 10. Melatonin is a great opener, followed by Well Thought Out Twinkles, Checkered Floor, Little Lover, So Polite, great fucking song. Future Faux Scenarios is a banging ripper, or a ripping banger. Either way, you could have it either way. That song goes both ways. You could have it either way you want. Wasted On, Lazy Eye, Rusted Will, Dream at Tempo 119, Three Seed has a sick ass guitar riff in it, really cool melody, and Common Reactor, all amazing from start to finish. Incredible record. IGN gave this a 9.1 out of 10, if people care about those kinds of ratings, and Pitchfork, those little snobby Travis Boone bitches, gave it a 5 out of 10. So fuck them. Rolling Stone gave it a 3.5 out of 5. So, you know, it had, I guess, well, some people kind of gave it mid, and then some people kind of gave it like a little higher on the accolades. But and everyone's going to be hearing some music from it now, probably Rusted Wheel, because that's been my jam. Go check out Corner Boss, everybody. Rest in real, plan is still.
haven't listened to this in years, man.
Dude.
Yeah.
I hadn't either. Revisit, because glorious. Cody, what you got for your first recommend tonight?
I have Lost in the Waves by a French metalcore group called Landmarks.
Whoa. I've never heard of this.
Even though they are identified as a metalcore band, this album is more of a mixture of a lot of metal genres. It more or less transcends like metalcore, and it's more of them just switching through punk rock, death metal, melodic metal, hard rock, and the central sound, which is, you know, metalcore, I suppose. It's very polished, really cleanly produced. The vocalist is amazing. The opening track, once, like, if y'all, whatever, start the record, if y'all have any interest, the opening track displays what they're all about, like, right from the gate. The chorus is, like, clean, and then he does, like, his screaming. Then it descends into like a black metal, and then it goes back to that. It's really done well. They took all kind of metal genres, blended them, and this is what you get. It's a really good album. The only negative thing I would say about it is that it's very emotional. The lyrics and how he vocalizes some of the things. So it's not something you could pick up at any time, I would say, like, maybe, I don't know, when you're feeling
not necessarily a negative, then, just more like this might be a certain mood type of album.
Yeah, right, like, just a little warning.
Yeah,
but as far as the, like, the music goes, like, it's consistent, man.
Every time we do one of these, I go listen to all the records that everyone suggests, by the way. When I edit this, I go to the tracks that people normally point out when they're talking about it. And if they didn't point one out necessarily, I just find one that I think sounds good, and I layer it underneath. Okay. Even if I don't like that initial track, I still go listen to the whole record after the editing the episode, just because I want to broaden my horizons. Just see what's out there.
Yeah.
Don, I just want to give Don a shout out. Back when he was on his albums, at first I was like, I don't know about this, but then I was listening, I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of digging this. And honestly, everything Grindhouse ever recommended, I dug. Like, he recommended some good shit too. And
not me.
No, dude, every time. It's always been good. What was the name of that record again, Cody?
Lost in the Waves by Landmarks.
Lost in the Waves.
Not too I want to say it's 2021, 2020, or 2022, one of those 3 years that it came out.
It was, Ricky, it's spelled false, True Cult. it's Landmarks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The A is
nice.
A V.
Nice.
It came out in 2014. No, that's the band. Shit. That's when the band, okay. My bad. Hold on. 2021, yes, sir. There you go. Okay. Awesome. T-Rev Begev, you cuck. What you got for us?
Yeah, boy. Tonight I'm cucking. I think my album theme for tonight is albums that go with movies. And okay. I'm gonna start the first one off coming out of left field. The Greatest Showman is a 2017 album accompanied by a movie that has Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Michelle Williams and Zendaya. Zendaya. Oh, okay. Movies.
Greatest Show.
Songs with the title "The Greatest Show," "Come Alive," "This Is Me." Every song on this album is a banger. I used to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and drive my ass to work, and I would listen to this album on my way to work, just fucking jamming. And there's some like upbeat, like fucking "Let's Get After It" songs on here. There's some mellow, chill songs, even a few little sad songs on here. So it kind of runs the gambit. It's a favorite album of mine. I don't mind listening to it start to finish, and I'll pop it on every once in a while when I'm feeling squirrely.
Ooh, squirrely.
Yeah, Bob. it's a good fucking album. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say the, well, go ahead.
I've never seen the movie, man. And it's
right. Travis.
It's been on my back because I like musicals. It's been on my back burner for years. I just never seen
it. You should bump it up.
I will, because I'm going to go listen to the songs, and I'm going to
put it in Momo's box.
This movie is a 10 out of 10 for me. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying. So high praise from me.
Stick it in that old box, bro.
I'll stick it
in that old stinky box, bro.
I think I own the movie. So
I kept going with it.
I can definitely play it one day.
I saw you, Cody.
Cody,
I saw his face.
Cody, when did you
performing tonight?
When did you start?
Soggy box.
Oh, okay. You don't hate it. Okay. I was about to ask you, when did you start hating Chaos, man? What the fuck?
Oh, no.
I get it. You're playing the heel.
I really do hate how things just keep getting repeated after a while. I really hate that. It fucks me up.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
I'm not.
No, we're cool.
Fuck him.
It's okay.
I'm not sorry. Yeah,
look
at me.
Look at this cuck.
Fuck me.
Look at this cuck sitting in his cuck chair, watching us as we explode all over the place.
I just had a cuckgasm.
Cuckgasm. No.
Oh shit!
Oh my god,
Trev, I will have to go and watch that because I'm gonna listen to it. So I'm glad that you brought this album to us. You said it's a 10. It's definitely a 10.
Yes,
I'll have to watch the movie. Though.
Yeah, the movie's a 10. I mean, I think the album's a 10. It might not be your jam, but there are some good songs on there. So check it out.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say. We don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, you say. No one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us. For we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, gonna send the blood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen, I make no apologies. This is me.
Cody, what did you rate Lost in the Waves by Landmarks?
I would give it a 8.
8 out of 10?
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Namesake, bring us in with your first recommend.
Oh, hey guys. How are you today? Have you ever heard of a band called Inquisition?
No.
I might have brought this album up before, but I don't care because I've been jamming it. So Inquisition is two guys. There you go. You can see them.
Oh yeah,
they look like two guys.
Inquisition used to be a game show from the late 90s. Oh,
yes. Sorry. Also,
I'll take Inquisition for 200, Alex.
Right. Spell it. No. So Inquisition is a very controversial black death metal band.
I'm out.
Death/black metal band.
Ricky, real quick, can I do this?
Yeah.
I got my next Inquisition popping fresh out the kitchen.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
Sorry.
But they make like some it. Of the most cosmic music ever made in the black and or death metal genre. They've always been known for that because they make very heavy, spacey sound and atmospheric nasty shit. And it's just two guys. Okay. One guy plays drums and the other guy plays guitar. And I love that face you're making. Why are you making that face?
Because it's so cosmic.
What is Trevor doing? Trevor?
Trevor, what are you doing over that? Dude, that's when me and him do the fusion dance and it goes wrong because I'm too short.
Yep. Oh,
we end up being one gigantic dick. That's all we are.
And then we cut Cody.
Damn. What about me?
You get to be there. Well, you get to watch. You're super cuck because you get to watch us cuck him.
I watch him.
Yeah, Cody just has the corner cuck chair, but you have like the throne cuck chair.
Yeah. It's in a closet. I'm Ricky from like behind some blinds.
Ricky, you're the king of Mount Cuck. Oh,
God damn it!
I'm gonna make him love this, but by the end of this episode.
Right.
I'm sorry, Ricky. I'm so sorry. Please go ahead. I will not. I will be a good boy now.
What?
Yeah, I won't interrupt anymore. Keep talking about your crappy ass album.
I thought I was done. I thought I was finished.
Really?
Ha ha ha!
So listen to this album title, and give me a second because it's wordy.
Okay.
Bloodshed across the Empyrean altar beyond the celestial zenith is an album from 2016 by Inquisition.
This, across the Imperium altar beyond the celestial zenith. What the fuck?
So
I feel like I've already heard the album from just the title.
Hold on. Ricky, I'm sorry again, but listen. Ominous doctrines of the perpetual mystical macrocosm, veneration of medieval mysticism and cosmological violence, black mass for a mass grave, magnificent glorification of Lucifer, invoking the majestic throne of Satan into the infernal regions of an ancient cult. Like, they just don't give a fuck when it comes to album titles, bro.
Hell no. No, they've got dope-ass titles and dope-ass music. You're gonna hate... You're gonna like them less if I tell you about them, personally. Okay. But okay, yeah. they make some dope-ass music.
I can guess. They're Nazis.
Not both
of
them.
I was thinking they're racist.
One of them was accused of being Nazi-ish. It hasn't really been proven, but you know how it goes when, like, you're in a scene.
This is a white supremacy band?
No, they don't make any music like that. Their music is all... No, their lyrics are all, like, fucking Assyrian gods and space and Cthulhu shit. Like, they don't... They don't have any political doctrine in their lyrics, but someone from another band said that the drummer had like a swastika on his tattooed on him, and that's yet to be proven. So there's allegations. A lot of people say
that's on that swastika.
Yeah, a lot of people say that the drummer is a Nazi. Okay. He's from California.
All drummers are Nazis.
California.
Calico
knows how to party. Oh, in the city,
all the leaves are brown.
Oh shit!
And the sky is gray.
California, yeah, boy. Damn,
dude, why does California make for good song? California.
It's a good word, and the state.
Rest in peace.
The
state simultaneous release.
Yeah.
Fuck it, everyone. We're gonna do the whole song.
I think it makes for like a good
Cody finally finished in the cuck chair. I heard it.
Fuck yourself.
I think California has a mysticism about it because of Hollywood and shit like that. And it was also like the gold rush, and it's just always been like a mystical American place, even to foreigners, you know, they're like, California is the shit, man.
It's crazy over there, man.
Go travel out west.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Strike it rich on the alleyways of Hollywood.
No, go out west and take a shit in the alleyways. Oh, no, in the main streets of Hollywood.
Especially if it's lonesome and crowded.
You're working the corner, so, you know.
I like to take a piss on the corners.
I prefer alleys, but corners work.
I like when you watch me take a piss from your cuck chair.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
See, he laughed. I got him. Fuck you, bitch.
So... I'm going to go ahead and score this a solid 9 out of 10. My favorite songs are From Chaos They Came, Wings of Anu is probably my favorite. Uh-huh. But Vortex from the Celestial, hold on 1 second. Hold on. I got it's not showing the whole title.
He has to spell the word out. He has to sound it out.
No,
Ricky, no. Use your fingers.
Use your fingers.
All right. Hold on. Vortex from the Celestial. It's scrolling again. Hold on.
High
throne.
Look, sound it out letter by letter, bro.
Vortex from the Celestial Flying Storm of Thrones.
Yeah, damn.
Or Throne of Storms, one of the two. The song title's too long. It scrolls when I look at it on my phone. Throne of Storms. Anyway.
Welcome to the nightclub. We about to
my favorite songs from it. So there you go. This should have been a fourth wall episode right here.
Why? We're doing it. We're doing the damn thing.
We're doing it live.
Not 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
I love this album. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. It's a 10 out of 10. You get what you're getting from it. You always get what you get from them. Okay. And before we move on,
kick up your ass.
We talked about the drummer being a Nazi.
Uh-huh.
The guitarist is, I think he's in prison now. Maybe not. And it was because he was trying to talk to like 15-year-old girls on the internet.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
He's the rapist. We got a rapist, a Nazi. Yeah.
They're shitty people, but I love their music. So
it's a 10.
Sue me.
It's a 10, everyone. Every week.
Yeah, Bob.
It's a 10.
Cody, are you drinking Muscle Milk?
Yeah.
It's either Muscle Milk or Metamucil. What are you?
Fuck you. Sorry.
Dude, I just died again.
Well, where's Grindhouse when you need him, bro? What the fuck?
I'm crying. My ribs hurt. Stop, Trevor. Oh my god.
It's the second time that he does that. Damn, man.
I can't do it anymore. Okay.
Oh. Trevor, look at him. Look at him. Look at him.
It hurts so bad. Look at him.
Joking. Oh.
Buy our shirts and our candles and stick them up your fucking ass.
Yes.
Buy our shirts and our buttons, please.
Oh, man, this is amazing. This is amazing. I don't care what the listeners get out of this. I got what I got out of this. Fuck them.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, my God.
No.
Don't start it back up, man. No. I'm going to grab a beer.
I need a breeze.
We need a break. We need a little, all right. A little break.
All right.
Yeah, I need a break.
Holy shit.
Me, bro.
Hey, y'all are all 10 out of 10s, and I love all y'all.
Yes, all of you. I love you, boys.
Listen to Remco's baby laugh a lot.
Dead yet? Like, did we die?
I'm getting there.
I'm about to get stupid as fuck, cousin. Before we move on, I want to say that apparently the gross guy is not in jail because they're still making music. So unless they replace that
pedophile,
fucking pedophile rapist, nasty bastard, then he's not in jail. And that is a big failure of the state of California, in my opinion. So,
I mean,
good on y'all, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, good on y'all, you sons of bitches.
Go get them. Go get them.
Go get them.
If y'all just letting those kind of people walk around, fuck it.
Yeah.
All right. Final album of the night from me takes us back to 1970. One of my favorite singer-songwriters of all time has released numerous records throughout his career. I'm lucky.
Glad you like my stuff, bro.
Yes.
Glad you like all my stuff, man.
Beautiful.
You do put out some really good music. Everybody go check out Cody Ko, link in the show notes. This singer-songwriter, though, I was lucky enough to see at Jazz Fest several years ago. He was rocking it at 70 years old, playing the saxophone, singing like a motherfucker, playing the guitar, playing the piano, being a showman. This Irish gem of a person, Van Morrison, released an album back in 1970 called Moondance.
Oh, I know what this is. Yeah, man.
Half a mile from the county fair, and the rain came pouring down. Me and Billy standing there with a silver half a crown. Hands are full of a fishing rod and the tackle on our backs. We just stood there getting wet with our backs against the fence. It don't rain all day, and it stung me to my soul. Stung me just like jelly rolls, and it stung me. Yeah, it stung.
Moondance is the first half of this record. Is like everyone knows the songs pretty much. You've pretty much heard them all.
Brown Eye Girl.
No. That's his first album. But a good guess. And It Stoned Me is the opening track.
Oh.
You know it, though.
I love Van Morrison, but I just never liked deep dove his music. So
that
one of these days.
That song's like, half a mile from the county fair, and the rain came pouring down. What's his name? Brr, 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 brr. Yeah, it's, and it stoned me to my soul.
Cucked me down to my soul.
No. Don't, man.
Fuck what?
Nothing
happened.
Hashtag no cuck. Okay.
All right.
No cuck around.
So the opening track is "It Cut Me to My Soul," and then track two is "Cuck Dance," and track three is "Cuck Low." No, no, okay, I'm done. It's "Stone Me," "Moon Dance," "Crazy Love" is a fucking phenomenal song. "Caravan" and the banger. And I say first half because I had it on vinyl, so that's how it's, you know, you flip the record after this next track. Everyone knows the next track, "Into the Mystic."
Oh yeah,
it's that song alone is a 10 out of 10. Second half of the record, even to this day, I'm going to admit I don't know like every song to, you know, word for word, but it's Van Morrison and it's worth listening to.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that second half like that, I cannot honestly give this a 10. That first half is a 10. Every song on that first half is a 10. And "Into the Mystic" is like a god tier song. Like, that's something that, like, if you had to put, maybe I would say maybe like the 100 best songs ever written, it's gonna be in there somewhere. It's just that good. "When that foghorn whistle blows, I will be coming home." Like, that shit is just fucking, I get the three songs, dude, just thinking about it. I got them right the fuck now, dude.
I want Van Morrison and Tom Waits to make an album together.
That would be incredible. That would be incredible if...
Yeah. It would make me want to become a lighthouse keeper and go kill whoever was up there with me and walk them like a dog and then kill myself.
What?
And then get eaten by seagulls.
What?
Yeah.
You want to become... You want to become... I was going to say Willem Dafoe in the lighthouse?
The lighthouse, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Are you looking at my lobster?
I'm fond of Van Morrison's lobster, I will say.
Oh, yeah.
A lobster cook?
Are you a lobster governor?
I will give this album
a 10.
Yeah, I'll give it a 10, even though honestly I shouldn't, but I will.
I don't care. 10. Give it a 10.
It's a 10 out of 10. Fuck it.
Audience, if you have any complaints, you know where to send them.
Cronenberg's name is... After this episode, Cronenberg's mailbox is going to be bursting at the seams.
His mail bussy's going to be bussing.
It's going to be so greasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cody Coe, give us your final album recommend of the night, sir.
I didn't mean to, like, do this on purpose, like the first ripping riffs, but it's Logic. I didn't plan, like, I didn't be like,
I'm not gonna lie, I expected it.
Hell yeah, Logic.
Logic is awesome, so
yeah, go for it.
When we start, like, it just so happens when like this came up, it was that album and the one I said earlier that I was into at the time, so. But yeah, it is Logic. It's his album that he released in 2022 when he came out of retirement called Vinyl Days.
I'm Morgan Freeman, and I just wanted to take a moment out of my day to inform every other rapper in the game that Logic is the GOAT.
I can give a fuck about the metrics. Roll up in a Beamer, Bentley, Lexus. Logic stay connected on the block, bitch, I'm Tetris. Snatch a necklace, Dilla beats got me reckless. Even if you knew the whole clan couldn't protect us, don't deflect it, you motherfuckers is defective. So get back on that assembly line. I'm schooling these MCs with assembly rhymes. I'll be goaded by the end of my time. More tracks than Amtrak by the end of the line. I'm harder to find, Maryland state of mind. From the wound to the pine. In my room with a pen and a pad and mad lines. Like a theme park, my life is full of action like when a scene start. Think I ain't the illest, you tripping like when the plane depart. You know I've been killing the game from the start. I'm the reason your kids afraid of the dark. I'll leave you bankrupt for real. Can't pay your light bill, how you feel? Stupid motherfucker, oh yeah, you got a deal. But you spent your whole advance on a chain. I invested mine in crypto and now I'm sailing out to Spain. My yacht 300 feet. Everything that I've attained all came from cutting teeth. Hanzo flow, I'm so sharp I cut the sheet. Good grief, only undercover if I'm cutting under sheets. Know my whole style.
They kick back to old school hip hop, mainly the genre, like early 90s boom bap style. Yeah.
Right, right.
It's a 30 track album. Don't let that discourage you in any way, because a lot of the tracks are like people calling him and leaving messages on his answering machine, which span from like 35 to 45 seconds.
Damn.
The average song length is about, I would say, 2.5 to 3 minutes. And the album is full of, he pretty much sampled the whole thing. It sounds so legit and well put together, blended, and he just murders it on every track. There's no light logic here. He's murdering it. It's one of his best albums he's ever released. It's a more confident, happy Logic, but his bars are just like, I'm going to read y'all just, this is pretty much what the album is throughout the whole thing.
I think whenever we do these, if we want to, we should start coming with like some of our favorite lyrics from the records we're recommending. Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
That's cool.
I like what you're doing, Cody.
Even if you knew the whole clan couldn't protect this, don't detect it. You motherfuckers is defective. So get back on that assembly line. I'm schooling these MCs with assembly rhymes. I'll be goaded by the end of my time. More tracks than Amtrak by the end of the line. I'm part of the fine Maryland state of mind. From the womb to the prime. In my room with a pen and a pad and mad lines. Like a theme park, my life's full of action. Killing the game from the start. I'm the reason your kid's afraid of the dark. I leave you bankrupt for real. Can't pay your light bill. How you feel, stupid motherfucker? Oh, yeah, you got a deal.
Damn, Logic.
It's this throughout the whole thing. And his, he kills it, bro. Like, hits every single note.
What's the album, by the way?
Vinyl Days.
Vinyl Days.
The album cover is really cool. It's this little kid sitting in a chair, surrounded by vinyl
that's his
records.
Baby boy.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, yeah.
That's
if you
amazing.
Look through all that stuff, you will find Tarantino stuff. You will find movie. Like,
there's a Back to the Future 2 skateboard, hoverboard. I see right there.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You will see all kind of shit.
Really cool.
He's our age. He lived through the 90s. He's a massive Tarantino fan, which is one of his big inspirations. It's a 10. It never lets up.
Oh,
he's got a
Once Upon a Time poster in there. Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he's a big Tarantino guy. He has guest features.
Travis.
He has guest features to name a few: Russ, Action Bronson,
yeah,
RZA,
yeah.
And that's just to name a few. Like, he's got a lot of old timers. He's got a lot of newcomers, but no one ever outshines him. He always stays on point. He's at his absolute best right here.
With all that being said, I have to ask you one question. Would you cook for him?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, there we go.
All right.
Hey, also, never underestimate the caterpillar.
What?
Never underestimate. Is that the Eminem thing? And Royce the Five? Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I love that song.
Oh, yeah. God.
All right, T-Rev, give us your final record recommend for the night with your theme.
Right. I just wanted to say one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
The opening track of Vinyl Days is Morgan Freeman stating that Logic is the GOAT.
Nice. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Guess that's going to be in this episode. I'm just letting you know that right now.
Hell yeah, dude.
All right. My last album that accompanies a movie is from 2006. This 17-track album that spans 38 minutes and 15 seconds is an absolute banger that all of my nightclub brethren know and love. And if you don't, I'll stab you.
What?
The guy that reminds me of T-Boo all the time.
Oh, Tenacious
D. A little bit of...
It's Pick of Destiny.
Of Destiny's son.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny, because
I didn't see that coming.
The government totally sucks.
Dude, man.
Beelzebub. The actual Pick of Destiny song. Look, man, this album,
I jammed the fuck out of
it. Yeah, I stormed this fucking album is what I do. And I listen to it,
dude,
and I love it. Look, man, Jack Black
really
is
fucking
just,
miss you.
Yeah. Jack Black's awesome to begin with. And then you
Kyle Gass.
Long ass fucking time ago in a town called Kickapoo, there lived a whole family.
It's my favorite song by Tenacious D. Kickapoo.
It's such a good song.
A long ass fucking time ago in a town called Kickapoo, They lived a humble family, religious through and through. But yay, there was a black sheep, and he knew just what to do. His name was Young JB, and he refused to step in line. A vision he did see of fucking rocking all the time. He wrote a tasty jam, and all the planets did align. Oh, the dragon's balls were blazing as I stepped into his cave. Then I sliced his fucking cockles with a long and shiny blade. 'Twas I who fucked the dragon, fuck a lie, sing fuck a loo. And if you try to fuck with me, then I shall fuck you too. Gotta get it on in the party zone. I got to shoot a load in the party zone. Gotta lick a toad in the party zone.
And you've got Meatloaf and fucking Dio in it. Yes. Get the fuck out. It's the most epic song
ever. It's mad epic.
I'm not going to lie.
To me, Kickapoo is their best song.
Period. I think I love it. And it's probably my second favorite song, only because the ending with Beelzebos and Dave Grohl, and he's like, I'm the devil, I love metal. But my favorite part of that is he's giving up Cage to get fucked by, fucked by the devil.
He's gonna gargle that mayonnaise, cuz.
He's gonna gargle his mayonnaise. He's like, oh no.
No.
Yeah. And I love,
gargle mayonnaise.
The part that gives me the free songs, he's like, well, Cage, now it's time to blow doors down. And they
hear you, Jables. It's time to blow doors down.
Time to burn this motherfucker down.
He's gonna rape me if we do not blow doors down.
Dude, I love it. We need a cover.
I'll drive you. It's time for the smackdown.
We need to cover this on the nightclub.
Definitely. Yeah.
God damn it! I'm putting it in Momo's box. I'm shoving it in that greasy box.
Is it still in there already?
Box. Yeah.
That was a great pick, bro.
Damn.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it, cousin.
That might be my favorite movie soundtrack, man.
That's like, a great one.
It's up there. It's up there for me. It might be my favorite too. I'd have to actually research that. But
yeah. Dude, crunch the numbers, man. I'm interested to know.
It's not in Momo's box, so I'm adding it.
Fuck yeah. How do I follow up that shit?
Hold on. Well, Trev, I want to ask you, what's your favorite song off the record?
It's probably Kickapoo, to be honest with you.
Hell yeah.
So, I used to be able to quote that song verbatim. My fucking, it's a 10 out of 10, cuz.
Yeah, that's why I shut up. The album, I shouldn't even ask that question.
I mean, it's fine that you asked it. That's a 10. That's a fucking, a big 10, son. I'm about to listen to the album and do cock push-ups now.
A single cock push-up.
Tim Robbins. Speaking of Morgan Freeman, Tim Robbins in that movie is a 10.
Yeah. Come to me so I can touch you. No.
Yeah. No.
We're not going over there. but then just stay right where you are then.
Motherfucker from... Motherfucker, Shawshank looking ass homeless motherfucker.
Dude. God damn. It's the best. All right, Rick. Take us home, sir.
I talk about this band all the fucking time. And at the end of last year, in December, they released their latest album. It is called Suffer and Become by Vitriol.
Oh, shit.
album opens with a song called Shame and It's Afterbirth. It's one of the highlights of the, I mean, right away, it's a 10 out of 10. So you get these fucking ominous, slow, high notes on the guitar that have this like echo and this reverb to them. And while he's playing that, while he's playing these slow notes, the other guitar slowly comes in behind him and it's playing those same notes, but it's playing them like a tremolo style. And it just sounds like flies buzzing, and it gets louder, and then it turns into a roar. I don't know a lot of the lyrics of this. I've only been listening to it since December. But it's like Vitriol always is. It's just dirty and mean and heavy and atmospheric and punishing and also really well polished and put together. These guys are some of my favorite. They're absolutely in my top five modern death metal bands. They might be number one.
Yeah, man.
And I love their music.
This is going to be a first for me.
You have been clipping the fuck out of them everywhere. Oh, I'm sorry.
I love their themes. I love, because, you know, it's the type of vocals where you don't really have to look them up. You catch enough of it, and then you just eventually catch it all. I mean, their lyrics are good. They can all fucking play. Like, this is a three-piece band. They get a fourth member when they tour and shit, but, you know, it's mainly two dudes that write the majority of the music. And it's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It's a 10 out of 10. I love Vitriol. I love this album. They just get better as they go, and they've been a 10 since the beginning. So there you fucking
have it. I can't wait to put it on. I can't wait to hear it, yeah.
And I know you've been
pimping. I mean, I'm listening to everything, but yeah, this is...
Shame and Its Afterbirth, The Flowers of Sadism, Flood of Predation, Weaponized Loss, and the I Am Every Enemy are strong ass high points and some of my favorite songs. But they're all teams.
Fucking A, man. So all right, that is we ran the gamut tonight of album recommends, from alt rock to nasty gnarly metal to musicals to fucking hip hop to like we old school rock. Like, we were everywhere. We were all over the place.
Butt rock.
Yeah.
Who, what?
Butt rock. Yeah,
butt. I don't know. Cuck rock.
Okay, no, it's seriously.
Okay, what is cuck rock?
What
is cuck rock?
We need to define it.
Who makes cuck rock? Audience, let us know who you think makes cuck rock. What types of bands would you call?
We're about to make cuck rock. We're going to define that genre here at the nightclub.
We're going to pull from that inspiration, and we're going to just...
We're never going to stop sucking that teat.
Yeah, bro. It's going to be the best.
Email us at thenightclubpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, X, or Twitter if you want to be old school about it. We're on Facebook. We're on Threads. And we're on Slasher, the Slasher app, which is the horror movie app. That's like Facebook or Instagram, whatever, for horror movies. So go on there if you're a horror fan. If you're not on there, you should be.
And we're like on your mom's, dude.
Yeah,
okay?
We fucked your mom and your wife.
Yeah. Join our Discord so you can learn more about it.
You can find us on Pornhub.
All piled on top of your mom like a bunch of little chihuahuas, dude. Like, because your mom's ginormous. Like a bunch of little chihuahuas.
Mom's a big whore, man. God damn. Why is your mom such a big whore?
She's just the size of a house, and she wants chihuahua, man. I don't know what to tell you.
It's amazing.
Who invited Shamu to the party?
Oh, no.
We're going to get some hate for that one.
Everyone did.
I know.
And I just want to let everyone know, I prefer BBWs, so there you go.
Hell yeah, no, boom. We don't body shame. We about it.
All right.
I like to imagine Travis as a little chihuahua.
Yeah.
And then after they make love, he just lays down in her lap like a little chihuahua.
I curl up. I curl up like a dog. Yeah.
Curl up in the lap and she just pets you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to imagine dragons.
I like to imagine.
That was Ricky's Ripping Riffs, everybody. Go listen to those records, and now we're about to get greasy.
Oh, greasy love time.
Yeah, cuz.
Bullshit artist.
Bullshit artist. But before we get there.
Okay.
Before we get there, because Ricky's not retarded enough yet.
Oh, shit. You eating another gummy?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And now I'm out.
Oh, God. I'm jealous. Are about to make a turn for this fucking absolute fucked.
Best.
Cody, you knew what this was. I don't know why you're acting like this, because you knew what this was.
Ma. You knew what was going to happen. You knew the cuck. You knew the cuckening was going to happen. I don't know why.
The cuckening. You know what?
The cuckening.
Why don't y'all all go get your mouth fucked?
I will. Why you watch? I will.
Something just foul. And
you better bring that red chair with you, cuz.
if he shows up and pulls out like a little red camping chair or something, like out of the little bag.
This is my cuck chair. It's mobile.
The mobile cuck chair for all your cucking needs. Go. You can find this at Academy in Lafayette.
Dude, you can DoorDash ass. You can DoorDash ass a cuck. It's Cody. He shows up cuck.
I think I need to call Loveworks and sell them on an idea real quick.
Not the Academy cuck chair, man.
The lines.
Oh, that's a great episode title, Academy Cuck Chair.
The Lion's Den is going to start selling a nightclub cuck chair.
Yes.
Exclusively. Okay. What you're going to want to do to watch tonight's movie is you're going to want to cover a grapefruit in grease and massage it sensually and then cuck your son.
So gross. What you gonna wanna do? Sorry. What you gonna wanna do?
Don't fucking hold back. What are you?
No, I started all coughing.
Shit. Y'all I started all coughing. Shit, right? Every fucking last one of you.
No, I'm too high, man.
This is amazing. This is my favorite episode. This is my favorite night. This is my favorite night of doing the nightclub ever that I've ever had. I'm not even kidding.
That's awesome.
Oh my God. This is better than episode 100. This is better than having Gloria. Well, that was a good night. That was actually a really good night. Yeah. I'm not going to say that, but this is the most I've laughed ever doing this goddamn thing. Thank y'all. Good God.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having us. We love it.
Thank you for still being here after New Orleans.
Oh, man, we love you. We love this show. We love our product. We love our listeners, our little fansies, our little cucksies.
All our little Discord cucks.
Our little discucks. Cuck server. Oh, God.
We don't have a Discord. We have a discuck. Our discuck community.
Oh, Trevor, I hope you choke on a hairball.
As long as you watch, he will.
Oh, my God.
We're not going to get through it. We have to get through it.
What you're going to want to do
is
stay away from Michael Jackson, because he might punch the fucking hair off you.
What you're going to want to do is shampoo and condition your pubic hair, because you will be exposed for having dry, fucking nasty
Africa grass hair.
I wish he would have said you will be exposed as a cuck. I would have died. He would.
Why would I do, though?
Because it would be awesome. Don't smell your pits. Don't smell your pits in front of me. I'm not a cuck.
Yeah, I'm a fucking pits.
Trev, you got one?
Yeah. What you're going to do is deny ever having said that you get free drinks on a Hollywood tour. You got the wrong info, cuz. There ain't no.
Yeah. False information.
Can you get a bottle of water? No, bruh. No.
Free
bruh.
Drinking.
Not yeah.
Next.
Free
drinking.
Tonight's movie is The Greasy Strangler, and you have been warned. Let the ritual begin. How do we even do this? So greasy. So, greasy, greasy, greasy.
You open up in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house. Yeah. And Braden is walking around in his tight little underwear, mm-hmm. bringing his gross dad breakfast in bed.
He's like, he's got his coffee. This opening is such a 10.
Yeah.
He's got
immediately.
His coffee.
The first few lines of dialogue, this movie is a 10. Because you're watching a movie called Greasy Strangler. And you're like, yeah. What the fuck is that? Okay, guys, this is obviously meant to be stupid and lay funny, like they say on Reddit and shit. So, so you're instantly like, okay, what are you going to do? You give this opening, you probably think I'm the Greasy Strangler now. Hey, I never said that already. This is a 10.
I love the line, though. He's like, why don't people... He's like, oh, hold on. People like milky coffee.
Milky coffee, yeah.
Why don't people ever put grease in their coffee? Why hasn't anyone ever tried that?
Nah, you're gross. God. That's disgusting. I might barf, Dad.
Why? Just put a little grease in your coffee. Just try it.
Ugh, you're such a... Gross out, Dad.
I bet you think I'm the Greasy Strangler.
Hey, I call bullshit on that.
Okay. Oh. I'm not the Greasy Strangler.
But and you are a bullshit artist.
You know what? I kind of am. He's like, he just immediately... And this move... So this opening scene, there's genius to this. There is genius to this writing. And to the performance.
It grabbed me immediately. I was in. Yeah.
To say this one time is enough. Everyone involved in this movie is full on
committed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
100% committed to doing exactly what the movie calls for. And Trev, I'm saying that because you when we watched this in the Discord before in Swamp Donk. You were saying this movie is schlocky, and it is, but it's not an 11 out of 10. And the reason being, at least for the way that I think me and Ricky define it.
The way that's what we landed on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause we made the rules.
If it's intentional, we did well for what it is. And
for what it is, we made the rules literally. So,
and I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying it like for the nightclub, if it's intentional, it can't be an 11 because an 11 is
something that was so bad that it becomes good.
Yeah.
That's something that was made to be a certain way. That's bad.
It was made with even an 11 out of 10 can be made with love and passion. That's pure on camera, but it goes all the way around of horrible to coming back around to being amazing. Cause it's so bad.
Right.
And that's like Night of the Demon. I don't think they tried to make a bad movie with that movie, but right. They were so bad at making the movie that the movie became amazing. This movie, they fucking knew everything they were doing down to the end. That's why I gave Night of Something Strange a 10. I couldn't give it an 11. They knew what they were making. Right. They know.
Right. Yes.
Them motherfuckers
what knew. Was intended was perfectly succeeded. Yeah.
So like that's this. the only reason I'm pointing it out.
It's not to single just you out either.
Yeah, no, that's
other
fine.
people have gotten that confused as well, including us.
Yeah, so. Including us. I club. Yeah. All right, so this opening is a 10. Holy shit. The premise, by the way, listeners of this movie, just to set it up a little bit, is that there's this father-son duo of Ronnie and Braden. Ronnie is a pathological liar who just makes shit up and like builds his stories up grander than they ever should have been. And he has a disco, a walking disco tour where he walks people around San Francisco. Is it San Francisco, Rick?
Yes, it's San Francisco.
He walks them around on foot, San Francisco, and tells them about all the hot spots from back in the disco's golden age. And his son accompanies him. And his son, Braden, lives with him under the condition that he cooks his food excessively greasy.
Yep.
That's it. And that's the premise. That's the opening premise.
Boy, do they eat a lot in this fucking movie.
Yeah, they make a lot of greasy food in this movie.
They grease it up, bitches. If you're not ready for grease, if you're not ready to see piles of grease everywhere, don't watch this fucking movie.
Grease.
And on people. Fucking on naked like bodies. Butter,
oh, that made me think of fucking Life. He's like, Cookie, what you think of that steak? That steak tastes like butter. But it's like
butter.
But instead of butter from fucking Anthony Anderson, my boy's like, that shit tastes like grease. And it'd be Michael St. Michael's.
Yeah.
This steak tastes like grease.
Yeah, bro.
His voice is amazing.
Yeah.
I love his voice. Someone said, I forget who said it. Cody, you're gonna like this. They said that Michael St. Michael's, the guy that plays Ronnie, sounds like Thomas Hayden Church. I don't remember.
Who is that?
Yeah.
Thomas Hayden Church is the guy opposite Paul Giamatti in Sideways.
Never seen it.
He's like that. Well, I can't do it.
Never
that,
seen
that,
it.
That deep.
Trevor, have you seen it?
Kind of.
Which movie?
Sideways. That boy's on TikTok. On the best episode ever, he's on TikTok.
Cyborgs?
Yeah.
Yes! I want a cyborg movie.
Sideways with Paul Giamatti.
These pricks have never seen Sideways.
Trevor, have you seen Sideways with Paul Giamatti? The wine movie, the wine tasting movie.
What?
Y'all are freaking out about a wine tasting movie over here?
It's way better than. It's like Breaking Bad. The premise sounds like who cares, but the movie's amazing. It's amazing.
I never thought who cares about the premise to Breaking Bad. I'm just going to say that.
A teacher cooks meth? It's like. Okay.
Right. No. All right away. Teacher gets cancer, loses his mind.
I don't like. No, that's not part of the premise. The part of the premise is the teacher. We're getting bogged down.
we're getting cooked down, folks.
Oh yeah, it's happening. Okay, let me just shut the fuck up. The next day we get introduced to this disco tour. Ronnie and Braden, Big Ronnie and Big Braden, are walking around in pink sweaters and pink shorts, looking the best. 10 out of 10. I might cosplay as Ronnie for Halloween.
Yeah, I'm
just saying. And they're talking about, they have a little group with them. It's like four or five people. And they're talking about, they go in front of this really old, speaking of a title card, great title card right here at the beginning. Yeah. Before the cast walks up, you see this dilapidated old building and the title card is scrolled across it in spray paint, but then it vanishes when the cast shows up. Really cool. I love it. And Ronnie's like, this is where the Bee Gees recorded their hit from 19 whatever. And he's like, he was standing in this doorway when he came up with it. And my boy's like, there's this guy in the tour group who's Indian.
Yeah.
He's like,
and he's funny looking and he's probably been in a lot of Tim and Eric.
Well, let's state that too. Like, this movie feels like Tim and Eric out the gate.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole time.
It feels so Tim and Eric.
Yeah. Listeners, if you never saw it and you're still listening, but you know who Tim and Eric is, if you don't like them, you should still watch this movie. Go find
it. Yeah. I agree. Still watch it. Yeah.
My boy's like.
And then tell us how much you hate it and complain.
Ian's pissed.
And buy our shirts.
Yeah.
And our buttons, please.
Yeah, buy all that.
So the Indian guy says, can you confirm this?
He says, what do you mean came up with? And he's like,
oh, yeah.
He wrote it in the doorway. Why was he in that doorway? can you confirm this?
Right, like, right. And then like, he comes up with a serious story.
Dude.
What does he tell him? Why did the Bee Gees write that song in the doorway according to our character?
I'll be honest. I remember what the Indian guys' lines were more than Ronnie's at this point.
It's ridiculous. It's about them wanting Chinese food and all kind of stupid shit. And he explains it away. And then the Indian guy's like, well, we were told there would be free drinks.
This is where you get like a big ass, I guess, if the opening scene's a 10, this part of this scene is the next 10 out of 10. Yeah. Trev, you need a free drink. You need a free drink. Do you believe?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in the power of free drinks, Trevor?
I do.
He really says it. We believe in the power of free drinks.
Everyone in this goddamn cast of tourists is starting to chant free drinks, free drinks. And Ronnie's like, the information you got is bullshit.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Yes.
They're chanting. You got the guy who was the witch doctor in
fucking Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy. Yeah. I don't know all the people, but there's some good ones here. They're great. I love them. And they all want free drinks.
They start speaking fucking German.
German. Yeah.
Cause they want free drinks that bad.
But basically Ronnie tells them that if they're trying to gouge him, they can fucking check his cheeks. Yeah.
And my boy pulls his pants down for an uncomfortably long amount of time. And you see this elderly fella's buttocks.
Yep.
And I will say, you got a nice butt, old guy. I dig it.
Yeah.
And Michael St. Michael's, if you're ever on the show, you heard me say that.
That's true.
But
we're going to sample it.
Just play it back for him.
Yeah. Just fucking chop and screw it, bro. You're talking about Michael St. Michael's buttocks?
Trick, yes. Trick, my cheese, trick.
Cheese. Yes! With the fucking stupid rattle bass just.
I'm going to go record my trunk fucking rattling.
Trunk. Yeah, dude. Yes.
When the tour walks off, Janet sticks around. There's this actress, Elizabeth. Oh, dude, we didn't do any. We didn't do any of that.
Oh no!
What?
Now it's getting chopped and screwed. Yeah, boy.
We didn't do cast. We didn't do trivia. We didn't. Wow!
To do all that, boy.
I've got all these. No, I'm not doing it. Nightclub, not doing it.
Let's keep going.
Nope. Elizabeth DeRazzo. I think I'm saying her name right. She plays Janet here. Sky Elabar plays Big Braden. Michael St. Michael's plays Big Ronnie. That's our main three for the movie. I'll leave it at that. So Elizabeth sticks around.
That's the love triangle.
Yeah. Janet sticks around after the tour leaves and she's talking to Braden and he's like, yeah, my dad's got anger issues. He likes to shout. I like to smile. She's like, I can tell. She's like, you're cheesy old cornball, and he's like, yeah, that's what I am. I'm just a cheesy old cornball. And I want to say I love Braden throughout this entire movie. Braden's my favorite character. Ronnie's amazing too, don't get me wrong. He's
and Janet, they're all amazing.
Everyone's amazing, dude. Even the side characters, everybody's a 10. Everybody in this movie's a fucking 10.
Everyone does exceptionally great.
I love them. I think they're great.
The next morning, Braden is cooking up some greasy ass sausage, and he's telling his dad, Ronnie, that he's got a date with Janet. It's official. It's confirmed. I like how that comes up again and again in the dialogue. And Ronnie wants his sausage greasy, and he's like, this is nothing like greasy. Like, he's pissed.
He acts like such a spoiled and such a spoiled and demanding about his fucking grease, bro. Like, it's
he's a spoiled, greasy little bitch.
Yeah,
he really is.
Yeah, and he's like, you better cook this right or I'll evict you. He does that throughout the whole movie. But like
he threatens guy with eviction numerous a lot. Times. Like
that's a big part of Ronnie's character is threatening his son with eviction.
Hashtag eviction.
Like, yeah.
When like that's when he pretty much gets to his end, that's where he goes. Like, no, I'm gonna evict you. Like that's his end game to shut him down.
After he cooks his dad the greasy sausage real good, like I guess I hope so, because his dad tells him like you gotta cook it greasy. Like
he tells him I'm not hungry anymore. Like he was a fucking dude.
Cody's right. He's a spoiled little grease bitch.
Yeah.
They go on
and he's full of shit too because he's always hungry. He all he wants to do is eat. There's even a part where he just says, "I'm hungry," like in a such a little error. I'm hungry.
That's my face.
Oh god.
Then they finally go on their date. Janet and Brayden do. They go to this fancy little restaurant and he's got these little tiny breadsticks and he tells a story about him. He's like, I believe they call these
are called Grissini.
I think.
Yeah.
And he tells Janet about how his mom and dad broke up and she went to live with, here we get introduced to a character that we hear a lot about. And I'll leave it at that. Yeah. Ricky Prickles, our boy. There's a lot in this movie that ties into the nightclub in a way because they got Ricky. They talk about New Orleans. Yeah.
I had noticed this.
It's fun. It's fun. It's fun tie-ins. Just to watch it and be from here.
Yeah,
this is when he tells the story, y'all, about living with Ricky Prickles.
You know Ricky Prickles hates me. Last time I went to his house, he called me Fatty Boom Boom.
Fatty Boom Boom, bro.
Fatty Boom Boom.
I fucked all that up, and I jumped ahead real quick to the dinner scene. So we're gonna reel that in.
He didn't get to kill them.
Right, we're gonna reel that in. The next 10 out of 10 scene in this movie is the vending machine scene. All the tourists from the disco group.
I like how you're doing now you're doing every scene by every scene and you're rating every scene a 10 out of 10 now. That's you're evolving. <man. laughs>
Welcome to the nightclub.
That is good.
The vending machine scene is a 10 out of 10. We get the tourists from the disco tour. And they're
scene number 85 is the 10 out of 10.
My boy, the Indian fella from earlier, his chips, and we've all been there, right? Where you go to a vending machine, you
and
put your
chips
fucking
get stuck in the machine.
Bruh, yeah. I hate it. And I will. And I know I'm a little boy, but I can shake that machine, by the way, and I can get my fucking snack. I'm going to let you know right now. I'm going to say it right now.
I'll rage fuck that machine until it gives up what it owes me.
I'll cook that machine.
Damn it. Yeah, you got it. That's what dude, I was about to say it. Cody's gonna cook that machine. Oh, we're on fire tonight. I love it. My boy's like he's like I had the Prapika Ridges chips, and he's like,
oh my god.
He's
yes.
like, I love the Ridges. I like to stick my tongue in the Ridges. That's where all the salty chip dust is. And the other guy's like, true.
Boy. Yeah.
So true.
As a chip fan.
I want those chips.
You know what my favorite thing to do is I like to get the
lick them first.
That's good. That's good. I like to get the Cheetos Flamin' Hot Puffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to shove a whole puff in my mouth.
And yeah, boy.
Suck that puff. Until it melts in my mouth.
I pull it in and out of my mouth until it dissolves rapidly. That's what I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the night.
Yeah, you are. You goddamn right.
Yeah, boy. Ricky has it right. You put it in and out your mouth until it shrivels up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
till there ain't nothing left.
And then you swallow what's left.
You get all the spice off of it until it shrivels. We getting spicy, cuh. Cody, we need a remix. We need a remix.
Oh, shit.
Cosmic spicy sexy.
Yeah,
that's our,
This is probably the, besides bullshit artists, this is probably the most quoted part of the film in our Discord lately and amongst us as friends. They ask the Indian fella, who we don't know his name yet. We know his name, but we don't know his name yet in the movie, so that's why I haven't said it. But they ask him, like, what are these chips made of? And he answers.
Potato!
I'm sorry. Potato. Can you say that again?
Potato! Potato!
I'm sorry.
Potato.
One more time?
Potato!
This is very embarrassing, but can you say it a little slower?
Potato.
Not slower at all. The same. It's the exact same.
It's not slower. Instead, he just waited a little longer to say it.
Dude, this scene, this, like so many scenes, like the Check My Cheeks and so many others that are going to come a little bit later, they just take that extra time to do to let it simmer. And Cody, that's why we're cucking tonight. You got to let it simmer sometimes, baby. That's the genius of this movie. The comedy simmers in this movie, and it lets you rest with it uncomfortably. As uncomfortable as you are, you cuck. It lets you sit with it in the cuck chair for a while.
It does.
This scene is amazing. It's amazing. And finally, they're like, I think what he's trying to say is potato. He's like, oh, potato.
And then...
for an uncomfortable amount of time.
Oh, of course. Potato. And then they laugh about it. Potato chip.
Yeah.
And then you got the one guy who seems uncomfortable about all the laughing. He's kind of like, he's kind of standing there, nervous
looking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's Cody.
Yep. that's
Cody. I love you, Cody. But out of nowhere, we get a big, greasy dick boogie woogie.
And that's what he is. He is referred to as, that's the boogie woogie.
He slammed. So the Greasy Strangler shows up. It's clearly Ronnie, decked out. Decked out in grease with a big old wang that looks like a fucking it looks like a stalactite.
It does. With a red tip.
It does. It does. A stalactite with a red tip, dude. Horrible.
Like a stingy red burny penis tip. Because he's got his foreskin.
It looks like a stinger.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And I still have mine, and I'm gonna tell you right now, mine don't look like that, cuz that's crazy.
No.
No.
Damn.
No. No.
No. No.
I don't have mine anymore, but one day we will be reunited in heaven. It's looking down on me. My foreskin is up there looking down on me. I just know it. Just looking down on me like you're doing good.
It's supportive.
You're doing good.
All struggled up.
Your guardian foreskin.
Yes, that's what I mean. This is guardian angel. I'm gonna tell you right now, Rick.
Guardian foreskin.
Ricky, right now, Cronenberg is dying laughing right now. I'm letting you know. I know already. I can hear your laughter, you Scottish bitch cuck. I love you. I love you. So the Greasy Strangler shows up and he fucking throws one dude into the goddamn vending machine and kills him. He straight up whoopee cushion punches this other dude in the face.
Yep, and flattens his whole face.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Amazing. And then our final boy, the Indian boy.
I can't even say it.
In his little,
amazing mini skirt with the boots.
He's like, I will make you a chief shareholder with a nice corner office. Does this not appeal to you? He's like, well, fuck it. I've got a girl in the room. Earlier tonight, I could not get a stiffy, and my balls sucked up into my abdomen. Do you find this weird? Or whatever he says.
Yeah.
And the Greasy Strangler is just ever approaching and like holding his hands out towards his neck. And he finally grabs hold of him. And he's like, oh, I'm dying. My name is Sydney.
Yep.
So Ronnie goes to the car wash and he gets, this is going to happen a bunch of times too, where he goes to the car wash and you get this great scene of him standing how, like, picture your car in the car wash with those fucking big ass whippy things brushes. Smacking yeah. the brushes. And he's just screaming as the grease is being whipped off of him. He goes inside and you have the owner of the car wash is this blind guy named Big Paul.
Yeah.
He's like, is that you, Ronnie? Were you screaming back there? Is everything okay? He's like, I wasn't screaming. I was laughing.
And I bet you think I'm the Greasy Strangler.
Yeah, again. Big Paul and Big Ronnie go way back. They're old disco dancing friends. And
I'll tell you what, dude. I'll say it right now. Uh-huh. If you'll cosplay as the Greasy Strangler, as Big Ronnie, but not in greasy form, I'll cosplay as Big Paul. And we could go disco dancing. Yeah. I'll say it right now, Travis.
But that means you'd have to go blackface.
Oh, no. I would just do it in whiteface. It'd be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go blackface. No problems
there. There you go. Cody will do it.
Cody doesn't like all the cuck jokes, but he's going to be the fucking edgiest one. I'll be blackface. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Just because you listen to rap doesn't mean you can do that, boy. What you talking about?
Thank you. Thank you for putting me in my place. I appreciate that.
God damn it. That was good. I like that.
Welcome to the nightclub, everyone. Cody gets put in his place.
Oh.
And he's sore from it.
Oh.
Your little cuck ass is sore.
Oh.
Fucking Travis puts that big cock of
of cucking.
Of straightening me out. Burn something. I'm going to burn something. I'm going to break something.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Big Paul wants to go disco dancing again soon, Big Ronnie. And Ronnie opens up about his son right here, and he's like, my son craps the bed most nights.
Yep.
He crapped on the carpet. He crapped in the kitchen, on top of the TV.
And he's a severe manic depressive.
Mm-hmm.
Why he explains why the wife left? Because he used to crap on her leg or something?
No, that's a little bit later.
It's common, but yeah.
Yeah. But this is where all the crap talk starts.
This is also where you see the fake money for the first time.
Yeah, he pulls it right out of his butt crack to give to yes! the Big Paul.
That's one of the biggest laughs that the movie got out of me. That bill just out of nowhere from... Yeah, his backside. I mean, well, not out of nowhere, but it's like it was just on his cheek.
Right.
You know, like not even, I don't know.
Big Ronnie walks around paying people with fake drawn. It's like if you cut the shape of a dollar bill out of a piece of paper and just drew that it was money on it. That's what he pays people with.
Yes. None of them are consistent, and it's fucking awesome. I loved it the entire time. I'm like, you didn't even want to spring for fake money. You were like, no. Like,
I'm gonna take my time to draw it.
Yeah.
And not draw it well either.
No.
It helps that Big Paul's blind, so he can't tell it's fake money, but
right.
It doesn't stop Big Ronnie from paying other people who have the ability to see this fake ass money. So they Big Ronnie leaves the scene laughing and skipping amazingly.
Yeah.
And the next scene is another waking dad up with his greasy coffee, and Ronnie's like, you know, once you leave me, or once you have a girlfriend, you'll leave me, you'll want to move out. And you get the bullshit artist happening again, and Ronnie's like, I'll die of loneliness. That's a real thing, man. You know. People get so lonely that their hearts just stop. And I'm like, immediately I think of Johnny Cash missing his wife. And I go back to when he covered Nine Inch Nails is hurt because his wife died, June Carter. She died, and he died like 6 months later. But in
also
between,
known as Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, yeah, she did that shit, bro. She did that shit. Mm-hmm. And her and Joaquin did that shit.
Yeah, they did.
But
Reese Witherspoon with me.
Yeah, please. Yeah, please.
Yeah, yeah, please. I'm gonna need you to walk tall. Joaquin, then I'm gonna need you to walk strong.
Joaquin, my Phoenix. And then I'll need you to. Then I'll need you to walk hard.
Walk hard.
Yeah. So Johnny Cash's wife died, and then he died of a broken heart, like not long after that. And that got to me, like that.
Yeah, that's so bad, man.
There's a lot of scenes in this movie. As ridiculous as this movie is, I will give it this tip of the hat. It's got a lot of fucking emotional tie-ins to certain characters and certain ways they describe things and how they feel throughout the film. Braden being the biggest part of it, but even lines like this, like it just gives me, I guess maybe it's because of what I know referentially, if that's a word, but I can reference it in my memory data bank and go back to it and be like, damn. And it gives the movie depth. And I'm not saying the movie doesn't have depth. I think it is in there with Braden's character in certain scenes. But this goofy, silly, stupid-ass movie has emotional heft to it, in my opinion. And this is one of them. And he fake cries into his piss pillow. Ronnie does. That Braden's going to leave.
Pillow.
It looks like a piss pillow, man. It looks like he pissed all over his pillow.
I love the decor in this house. Oof. This house is amazing. Leather Daddy would eat us all up in this house, straight up.
Oh, God, yeah. But he fake cries, and they realize he calls bullshit artists, and they have a real laugh. Yep. And then he's like, Ronnie's like, I have something to tell you.
Yep. And you'll have to get closer. He gets closer, and Ronnie rolls onto his back, holding his legs with his ass in the air, and farts. In Braden's face.
Yep.
And then Braden proceeds to cook him some food. This is one of my favorite lines in the entire movie. You better make this the greasiest feast since that goose you cooked for Christmas.
Yep.
Love that line.
It's one of my favorite lines also. It's the best.
The humor never lets up. It hits every point.
If you were to watch this movie, I would say the best way to watch this movie is probably with friends.
Oh, absolutely.
No, for sure.
No question about it. This is a movie to watch with friends and laugh.
Yeah.
Laugh, shut up, and
there's your shout out, Cuckle the Pod.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I want to shout out Sam specifically so he gives me a kiss.
I know, right? I want to get smooched by Sam and Brian and Ross. Ross will never hear this, but, you know, there you go.
Oh, Ross probably listens.
He's tattooing right now, and he's like, I fucking listen to your
shit. He just put a big-ass line across somebody's shit on accident. Like, he got so mad.
Yeah. The next scene. We go back to the disco tour, and Ronnie's like, this is the store where Cool from Cool and the Gang worked before he blew up. And Janet shows up there, and this is when we get our dinner date. It's finally announced that they're going to go have a Cajun hot pot. And right. I was like, God damn it.
That was crazy.
Right?
I wasn't expecting to hear it. A Cajun hot pot.
Ronnie's pissed.
That just doesn't happen like that, but it did.
They go off to dinner, and that's when you get They say a few other things where they're like, this is another great line. I'm sorry. They're walking away, Braden and Janet are, and Ronnie's looking at them walking away, and he's looking at Janet, and he's like, I can feast.
Yeah,
on that queen's ass all night long.
Yeah, boy,
dude.
And right here, I want to point out they show you some of his psychology, because as she's walking away, instead of holding hands with Braden with her clothes on, like in reality, it shows you what he sees, and she's naked, holding the leash of a dog. So Brayden doesn't even see his son as a person. I mean, Ronnie. Ronnie doesn't even see Brayden as a person, dude. Like, that's what is going on, dude.
It's a deeper level to a movie that doesn't even need it, but it's there.
Right.
Like, goddamn movie. So now you get the dinner scene, and this is another 10 out of 10 scene. There you go, Cody. This is where you get the, what's that bread called?
Grissini.
Grissini.
I think.
Yeah. I wrote down crapola. I don't know why, but we get Ricky Prickles. Crapola. The story of Ricky.
You get the Ricky Prickles story.
Yeah.
Yep. She says, that's just crapola. Mm-hmm. But Ricky Prickles, his
I like how y'all are. Like how y'all are going through this more by lines because there's so many. It's they're littered throughout the film. And
I told Ricky before we did when we first watched it, I said, I don't know how we're gonna do this because it's the type of movie where the dialogue is so fucking great. It's like Kevin Smith, which we're a horror podcast, and this movie, I mean, good God. How horror is it? But how horror is it? But like you could say whatever. But if we ever covered a Kevin Smith movie for whatever reason, there'd be no way to do it without going at it through the dialogue. It's so good, and the performances are so fucking good, down to facial cues. Like, yeah, it's that kind of movie. But Ricky, tell us the story of Ricky Prickles, please.
So Ricky Prickles made Brayden punch him in the stomach.
Yeah.
And Brayden was like, no, Brayden said that it felt like punching a frozen bag of sausages.
So hard.
And then he made him do abdominal crunches and he threw up all over his carpet and it was orange and it tasted fizzy.
Bruh.
That's what the man says. Okay.
I can taste it in my esophagus right now.
And then he said, and he molested me.
And
she says, to which she says, oh, how old were you? And he says, 18? I was 18. with a blonde mustache and a soft frame.
Dude,
or some shit like that.
Yeah. No.
He says he has like a full head of hair and like blonde hair and shit.
Yeah.
He says I had long blonde hair and a soft mustache.
That's it.
Yeah. And she's like, not all girls like ripped up abs. And he's like, yeah, some girls like loyal hearts.
And then he smiles.
Like this.
Like a freak. He smiles like a freak at her, dude.
Oh, my God.
She talks about the tourist being murdered, and he reaches over the table to her, and he's like, hey, 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 hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey, hey.
Bruh.
No way, man.
Trying to comfort her. He's trying to comfort her. He's trying to be her comfort blanket, but he's not.
He's more like a confidant.
And then I like this because Cody pointed it out, the eating in this movie. My boy picks up this big sausage and starts to eat it. Amazingly.
Yeah.
We get another scene with Big Ronnie. Big Ronnie's walking through town at night because Big Brayden's out on his date and he wants a dog. Give me a dog. And the fucking dog vendor, the hot dog vendor here is like, that's going to be unos, dos, tres bucks. And when Ronnie gets his dog, he's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, he said, what the fuck is this? This isn't right.
I need more grease. I need more oil. I need this to lubricate the world.
Yes.
When I eat this, I need the grease to lubricate my throat. Bruh.
That's what he says.
The fucking hot dog vendor dude's like, I could lose my license.
Yes.
He never said it the first time. Why is he saying, I repeat? What the fuck? That logic loop is the type of shit that will make me laugh.
That's yes.
He never said it a first time. So why does he say, I repeat, brother, that I don't know why, but that makes me laugh. I love it.
Yes.
So stupid. My boy, he's like, I bet you think I'm the greasy strangler again. You won't grease my dog. Well, Ronnie's dog is, what does he say? He's like, it's going.
He says, you won't, that's why you won't grease my dog. You probably think I'm the greasy strangler. And then he throws the fake money on the ground. And the fucking, he throws the fake money on the ground and the fucking dude goes to pick it up. And Ronnie sneaks over next to the hot dog cart and dunks the whole hot dog in the grease and then shouts victoriously that his dog has been fully dunked.
Yeah, boy.
It's the worst.
Did he have to do it on the slick?
Yeah. Like, the hot dog vendor
asked?
He did. The hot dog vendor said he couldn't do it. Yeah, he did ask. And the hot dog vendor said it's against regulations. Like, he can't put that much grease on his dog. That's why he was pissed.
Right.
Okay. Sorry.
No, you're good. You clarified that because we didn't even mention it. We're just getting caught up in all the dumb shenanigans.
Yeah.
Braden, no, this is what I want. I love this. This is the best. Braden is confessing to Janet that he wants to write space fantasy novels someday about faraway realms.
And he looks like it too. That he
would. Yeah, bro.
God damn it!
I'm a little Braden myself. I mean, I would like to write fantasy space novels too. I ain't gonna lie, but
they cross over into the digi realm,
dude. He's like, I would even do the voice acting, even the dragons. Even the trolls.
Yes.
Even the dragons.
My first book is called The Amulet of Arg. And the second book, he's going to cross over into the digital realm and become
the digi troll.
One of the best terms I've ever heard in my life. Janet's like, I bet you have a pretty large amulet yourself. To which Braden says,
I don't own an amulet.
He's so cucked and confused. Oh my god.
He's so innocent in a way.
He is. That's why I like Braden, because he has a true heart. I feel like he's a true heart, and he's
a
loving boy. He's a boy, he's not a man. He's a grown man, but he ain't.
Yeah.
But she tells him that her last boyfriends were like all fingers. And then this part of this scene is a 10 out of 10. One of my favorite lines in the movie again. She whips out her boobs and starts to sensually.
Plants them together.
Yeah. And Braden is like, and he leans in to go to the boobs. And she's like, I didn't say you could do that. And he's like, okay. He just said, he recalls back like, oh shit, okay.
Yep.
Dude, it's like, but why whip him out then? What are you doing?
I love it already.
This
character's amazing.
This is one, she is, but this is one of the first, so I'm on the fence about Janet now. Before this, I was like, I hate Janet. I hate her, not hate her character, but I'm like, Janet deserves to die then. But right now, I'm on the fence. But this is the first scene on the first watch that made me feel like, goddamn, Janet, if you're going to pull your boobs out, you know, you're implying something. Instinct is going to take over now, and it's fuck time.
Right.
And then, okay. And he did the right thing.
Yes, he did.
I didn't say you could do that.
I love how flat she delivers it too. Yeah, like unchanged and unemotional. Like, it's so good. It's so right away, I'm like, Janet's a 10. Janet has no idea what's going on, and she's the best.
Mm-hmm. Over across in the city of San Francisco, hot dog vendor goes back to his little camper and sits down to
sits on the toilet.
what looks to be a very comfortable shit.
Yeah.
Because he opens the window and he sits down, plops down real nice.
It's probably hot in there, though.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Sounds so uncomfortable, but I guess that's why he opened the window.
Since we already mentioned Sideways already, because Thomas Hayden Church sounding like Michael St. Michael's, I'm going to give this movie another shout out compared to Sideways.
Holy shit.
I love a movie where they show someone on the toilet. It's so true to life. It's like, yeah, people take shits and pisses. Can right. you show people on the toilet? Not every movie. We don't need to see it every movie we watch. Please. Right. Disney, Marvel, looking at you. We don't need to see it every movie. Okay. We don't need to see the thing that you're doing every movie, but we like to see it sometimes. Sometimes it's good. It makes it special. It's good. And this movie fucking has two toilet scenes. So fuck you, Sideways. Right. Fuck you, Paul Giamatti. my boy goes to take a shit and he gets strangled. Greasy Strangler just fucking comes up on him. And we haven't mentioned this. When the Greasy Strangler is greasy and strangling, he's also grunting and baying like a goat.
And growling.
Yeah. My boy sounds like the whole time.
He looks like he's like almost like melting a little bit too.
Oh, he's, yeah, know, the grease, yeah. Yeah, he looks like he has melty flesh.
He looks sticky. Yeah.
It's so greasy, man. I love it. I love yeah. the amount of grease.
He's covered in grease.
He strangles this boy so hard that his eyeballs pop out of his fucking skull. And
yeah, I love the effects. The effects, yeah. Bro. This like little cartoony kind of shit.
The Greasy Strangler then proceeds to cook the eyeballs and eat them at a candlelit dinner inside of the trailer.
Yes, he does.
He is very sophisticated.
Yep.
I wrote down just a pleasantry. I don't know what that means.
When he goes to... Oh, boy. All right. So when he goes, after killing that man and eating his eyeballs, he goes to get washed at Paul's car wash.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay.
And after his wash, Paul's like, you know, you've been taking a lot of, you've been washing your car a lot lately. You've been going down some greasy roads or something?
Which... Not like dirt roads, but like greasy roads. I like that.
To which he, I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
He says, you probably think I'm the Greasy Strangler. I'm not the Greasy Strangler.
Again, yet again. I think Trevor went to sleep.
No, I'm here.
Where are you?
Aren't you ready?
Okay.
Oh shit.
Okay. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
He's laying on the floor.
He is.
I was stretching my back out.
I'm just checking on you. You're good. I'm just checking on you.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
We just wanted to make sure you weren't invisible.
Oh, bro.
We wanted to make sure you didn't get Peter Neers' fucking contract. Listeners, go join the fourth wall to find out what the fuck that means.
Hell yeah. Shout out to our fourth wall in the future.
But Rick, what's he drove down some greasy roads.
Yep. Uh-huh. He says, I'm not the Greasy Strangler. And then he's like, I never said that. And he's like, well, then stop talking. Or something like that. I don't know. I don't remember.
But what's the just a pleasantry?
Oh, the just a pleasantry.
Yeah.
No, that's how he responds. My bad. He responds to that. You probably think I'm the Greasy Strangler with. No, Ronnie, I wasn't saying that. It was just a pleasantry. That's all, just a pleasantry.
There it is.
And that's when he freaks out. Yeah.
I love that term. No, you're good. I love that term. I guess that's why I wrote it down. Just a pleasantry.
I'm like, it's like, do you know what that is, Ron?
Yeah. After this, we get one of the other best side characters of all the best side characters, because they're all the best side characters. Oinker shows up.
Big boy?
It's Oinker.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
This dude is, I love the way this scene is shot because you see the side profiles of Ronnie and Braden, and then the camera pans over to down the sidewalk, and Oinker's walking up, and you could tell from a distance something's up with his face.
Right.
If the camera pans back and you see the side profiles again of Ronnie and Braden.
Right.
And then Oinker shows up and he's got the pig nose on his face. And they're going
This was another big laugh, like out loud. I was like, yes. Oh,
this made me think of a certain Twilight Zone episode where the woman in the episode is constantly under bandages and being seen by people you don't see on screen. This is something that fucked me up as a kid when I saw this at my grandpa's trailer at Bundix Lake. This fucked me up. In the Twilight Zone episode, you see this woman, she's under her bandages being taken care of by folks you don't see on screen. And it's because she had surgery to be adjusted and look like everyone else in the world because she was so ugly or whatever. And then at the end of the movie, or end of that Twilight Zone episode, rather, they take the bandages off and she has a normal, beautiful face, like a normal person. And everyone around her has twisted pig faces.
Right.
I say pig faces.
Holy shit.
It's not quite pig, but it's pig enough. And it's fucked up, man. Like, it's a fucking shocker. Yeah, like
Their faces are all like just not where they should be.
Yeah. They got they have eyes in the right place, but their nose and
their mouth are missing in ways. It's twisted. And it's all wrapped around like it's been pushed. It's weird.
That's what Oinker made me think of.
Yeah. I remember that. Damn. I remember that being fucked up as a kid too.
Oinker shows up and it turns out him and Braden are going to the horror house. Later that night, which I'm like, that's dope as fuck. They're going to go to the movie theater and watch a horror movie. And Big Ronnie is pissed. He's like, if you don't let me go, I will evict you.
He throws it in his face.
Right away. Right away. If you don't let me go, I will evict you.
Damn, dude. And I like how Oinker tells him, he's like, yeah, I heard that you were really stoned on fart fumes.
Right.
Big Ronnie was telling Oinker about his farts.
Right.
And so Ronnie does insist on going, and he looks at Oinker's shoes, which I guess
nice shoes.
I guess
no, they're cool.
Okay. Okay. They're cool.
Aren't they woman shoes?
I don't know.
Like or something?
I don't know.
They're amazing shoes, though, but they are unusual.
They're unusual shoes, and Oinker's like, yeah, I'm renting them, and I've been loving it. Like,
and then
God
he goes,
damn, fucking oinking.
He goes,
oinking
to
all
which
over
Braden
place.
Responds,
yep.
oinking all over town. Swan, so Ricky.
What? Swine about town.
There you go.
Yeah, boy.
I agree. Yeah, it's very swine about town at this point.
And they do. They go swine about town, man. They go to the movie theater. They all get excited. Ronnie's greasing up his popcorn, greasing the shit out of it.
Yes.
They meet our boy at the fucking movie theater that's like, hey, what's up, Big Braden? And what's our boy's name?
It's Big Thaddeus.
Big Thaddeus. Yeah. Everybody in this movie is big this and big that. Tonight, I'm not just T-Boo. I'm Big T-Boo. That's Big Cody Cole. That's Big Ricky.
Yeah, boy.
Trev was always big. So now
Trev
you
was always
yeah,
big.
Boy.
Now you T-Cook.
Oh.
Now he's T-Cook.
That would be a great nickname.
Can you imagine every time you go to like the grocery store, like, hey, that's Big T-Cuck.
T-Cuck, what you doing tonight, boy? You cooking a sauce?
Matt, T-Cuck, we trying to come to the camp this weekend. We're gonna go fishing.
Yeah. T-Cuck, I heard you picked up a turtle on the highway. You gonna make a sauce pecan cut?
Come on, yeah, T-Cook, we're going to come make a little pass. We'll put a little bead on it. Yeah.
That's my favorite.
All that.
That's my favorite.
Okay.
Put a little pass a little bead on it. I love it. So Oinker and all of them are having fun at the movies, and then they go steal the grease trap from the vigil of the hot dog vendor. There are these people that are at the hot dog stand having a vigil.
A vigil for that hot dog man is being held in the streets right now. So shame on you if you laughed at him when he died. I love it. It's so good. It's so good.
Janet goes to Braden and Ronnie's house for dinner, and this is when Ronnie tells her about he's been making extra virgin olive oil.
Oh God.
And this is the night, y'all. Big Braden finally gets laid, probably for the first time in his whole life.
Yep.
And it's another one of our most quoted parts of this movie.
Oh my God. How are we going to get through this scene?
Am I doing it right, Janet?
I don't know if I'm doing it right, Janet.
It looks like sex hurts him like really bad. He's all like. And
fucking Braden is getting.
He can't even enjoy sex.
He's so nervous. I can't believe he can maintain a stiffy. Like right. that's the real, like, how, if you're that nervous, how can you fucking perform? But my boy Braden is got Janet on top of him.
Yeah.
And she's going to pound town on his ass, and he is questioning himself the whole time.
The whole time.
And, as normal as it looks, like she's doing everything right. It's hurting him. Like I think like his face, he's like and the first thing I was like, oh my God, he's it's hurting him. Like he's not enjoying it. He's in pain.
And we're gonna find out a little bit later, but this scene logically makes no sense. And we're gonna find out why in a few scenes. The next morning,
it's senseless.
This whole movie, bro. The next morning,
like paper money.
The next morning, Janet gets up and she goes to the breakfast nook out there in the Texas Chainsaw House, and Ronnie's got a grapefruit out, and he pours grease all over this grapefruit and starts massaging it and eating it. So
tongue game being on point.
When I first saw it, I was like, wow, this is really healthy of him to be eating now. And then he puts his grease on it.
Yep.
And I'm like, not even the grapefruit is going to save him.
Nope.
No, the grapefruit is not safe from him.
No, it is not.
Then we get another toilet scene. A+ movie. Yep. A+. A+.
Second
plus,
toilet scene of the
plus,
film.
This plus. One's like... This one really expands on someone who's on the toilet. Like, she's on that toilet pissing, bro, and you just...
I give this scene an A+, like the teacher gave an A+ to fucking Ralphie in A Christmas Story all across the classroom. Yeah, all across it. So Janet's peeing, and you hear footsteps outside the door, and she's like, what's... Braden, is that you? No.
No, it's Ronnie.
Braden's dad. She's like, is everything okay? I just wanted to watch you pee.
Yep.
And then he walks in, his big old schwang, swang-a-wanging all over the place.
Oh, and he just walks in, lets his brush, and turns to face her and watches her pee while he pretends to brush his teeth.
Bro.
That's what the man does.
10 out of 10.
And I think he says, like, I'm not watching you, but his schlong's out and he's obviously watching her. And it's like, dude, like it all went out the door like a few seconds ago. You can just brush it. It's happening. But he tries, I guess.
But she likes it. She does like it. I'm not gonna.
And that was the point.
She does.
The point where I was like, here we go.
I'm not gonna pussyfoot around the reasons I don't. Again, 10 out of 10 character, 10 out of 10 performance. Right. In this movie, my feelings towards Janet in this movie are like, damn, dude, Braden is so cool towards you.
Right.
Why are, you know, like, why? And so
I have a feeling yeah. that Janet was dropped on her head a lot, but I love her for it.
I love Janet.
Damn. I love her. See?
I just think she doesn't really know. I don't think she knows what she's doing.
She says at one point, this girl is confused. It's coming yeah. up, but she says yeah. that.
I think she doesn't have a clue what the fuck is going on in this movie.
You can't blame her. You can't blame her for, like, you know, kind of maybe committing what she does, because it's like, she's, yeah, look what's happening.
Okay.
Look what's revolving around her.
I guess it's okay to cheat on people.
No.
But again,
that's what y'all are saying.
Again, I think, I was about to say, though, but I also, another part of me is like, she's aware, and I don't think she doesn't have the emotions not to care. I think she can. It's complicated.
Kudos to this movie for making it complicated. In the next scene, we get the silent game, because Brayden goes outside and he sits across from Janet, and he's like, are we exclusive? Because I heard that my dad watched you pee, and she doesn't respond, and he's like, whatever. He keeps asking her questions, and he's like, I guess we're playing some kind of silent game right now.
She shakes her head, yes.
Yeah.
You see, so she must feel some type of, like, you know, she don't want to hurt his feelings. So, and the look on her face, it's not remorseful, but like I said, aware.
I guess they come to like some kind of like agreement that they still like each other, but the camera pans up. And I don't know who said this earlier today when we watched this again today, the day of this recording in the Swamp Donkey. So twice we watched Greasy Strangler. And someone called him Riz Lord Ronnie. And I was like, God damn, dude. Riz Lord Ronnie.
It's amazing.
Because Ronnie is sitting, standing, skulking even over the yes. fucking balcony, just with his, again, Michael St. Michael's, I love dude. You. Yes. But you have a physique of the elderly, my friend. I love you, but you know what you're doing. You committed to this. Don't blame me for pointing it out. Don't blame me for fucking seeing it the way it is. And you look so gnarly, my friend. You look like a golem.
It looks.
And then
with the body of a pancake.
Ronnie kills Oinker, and Oinker likes it.
Oinker does.
This is the one. This is the one. Like that, I thought was the death earlier. He comes in and out of like, oh.
Right,
dude. He's like
at the end. He's oh fuck, this is amazing.
Yes,
yes.
And then he's like, oinks. Yes.
I like. He's like. Sorry, I blacked out there. Part of the right, dying cycle, back. I suppose. And then you get the. This is the grossest scene in the movie to me.
Yes.
Because when he kills Oinker, the greasy strangler.
He pulls off that pig nose.
Mm-hmm,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls off that pig nose and he sticks his greasy finger in it and
dips it.
It goes far.
Because when he pulls off the pig nose, like yeah. Michael Jackson, there's no nose.
Right.
There's no nose.
That's his real nose, bro. It's his real nose.
And there's just
got your nose blanket.
Don't be ignorant. This is my stick your finger in my nose. There's no nose there. And my boy dips deeply into that cavity. And I'm gonna tell y'all right now that fucking
what comes out is great. Yeah. It's yeah. just a bunch of blood. Runny blood on his hands, and it's Ricky, gross.
Ricky.
And then he licks it.
I thought of you.
And ponders it, yeah. And then decides, I don't like it. He gets like, mad.
Dad wants to spend some time with Janet, right?
Oh, God.
Ronnie's like, I think I need to spend some time with her alone.
Alone.
Brayden is so nervous. He's like, don't be a smoothie with her, Dad. I love her. And Ronnie's like, "Mom left because you used to poop all over her leg."
Oh, she, God.
Another.
She shouted another hard laugh. Yeah, she shouted it from a moving car as she left. No. No.
Yes. I was like, "Oh,
you're evicted, but not really."
Yes,
not really. He threatens him with it, bro.
He's like, "Fuck with me. I'm going to evict you unless you let me go on a date with Janet." So
right.
That night, straight Ronnie up. Gets dolled up. Ronnie gets dolled. So, Ricky, do he's I got, go as... Do
he's
I go
got
as,
two scarves on. Do you go as deep as what?
Do I go... No, no. Do I go as... Next year for Halloween, do I go as disco tour Ronnie?
Oh, no. Oh, no. If you do Ronnie, you've either got to be the... the fucking purple... crotchless suit Ronnie or you've got to be the greasy Ronnie or
okay
naked Ronnie something
okay yeah. So no matter what I guess my dick needs to be out following
straight up, straight up.
Okay good to know good to know
no so, you could do the grease cover too
well his dick is still out man
well I mean it's just but covered it's covered
in grease, well, in grease you know. My grandpa used to hit
yes.
my grandpa.
Tell the story. Tell it.
My grandpa.
He's got
my,
a grease. No,
yeah, he right. does. He does.
Yeah, he does.
He did. R.I.P. My grandpa on yeah. my mom's side used his favorite meal was a grease gravy, like chicken and sausage, whatever. But he liked a grease gravy, heavy right. grease gravy. And I'm not gonna lie, yeah. y'all, that shit was
no.
good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Like
it was fucking good.
Like he likes when that grease is just seeping to the top, like yeah. getting build up at the top
I,
and shit. Yeah.
I bet you think he's the greasy strangler, don't you?
That was good. That was
my
good.
My grandpa might have been a greasy strangler. I don't know. But that night, Ronnie's getting dolled up. Like Ricky said, he's got two scarves. My yeah. boy says, "Tonight I'm gonna rack up a formidable bar bill, $15 for a creamy pussy ass daiquiri."
Yes,
holy yeah, bro.
He's like, "It's basically liquid sex." He's like, "Dad, you're not gonna be a smoothie, are you? You know you're a smoothie with the women." He's like, he calls bullshit. Ronnie calls bullshit artist on it at first. But he's yeah. like, "You're a smoothie, Dad." He's like, "You know what? When you're right, you're right.
You called bullshit, and you called right."
Dude, he leaves, and Braden starts to cry, and I feel this scene. I feel yeah. it. I feel yeah. Braden's pain, man. I'm like...
He's crying, man. It's so sad.
But you get this emotional scene followed immediately by the nightclub dance scene of all time. Dude, this is so cutaway crotch dancing.
That guy in the background just not moving at all.
But then moving a lot. But then moving. But then moving. Yeah. Next, yep. They are dancing so awkwardly. The dancing can only be described as cadavers that are being manipulated by puppetry happening. I just don't even know what yes. this dancing is. After the insane dance scene, Ronnie goes and sits with Janet on a park bench, and he starts to tell her this story where he used to party with Michael Jackson.
Oh, God.
And they went to this club, and Michael, they got into a scuffle. Him and yep. Michael Jackson got into a scuffle, and that's
he knocked the security guard the fuck out, and yep. then Michael hit the other one so hard that all of his hair fell out.
He just went instant bald. He was yep. like Reggie Bannister times 10.
Yep.
Then they found these Asian chicks that wanted to bang.
Yep.
And so they took him up into the fucking, I guess, the manager's office or whatever.
Yep.
He's like, "We were pumping and pumping, and we sprayed them with hot milky cum, and everyone
I hate the
applauded."
Way he says it. Yeah, and everyone applauded.
That I know the cum is the best part of yeah. that line, but But my favorite part of the line is that everyone applauded. Like, well, who's who's everyone? Right. What do you mean?
Oh, the, everyone else at the nightclub, dude. Everyone else at the nightclub was applauding.
The nightclub applauds when you spray them with hot milky cum.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Then he goes, he leans in to kiss Janet, and Janet's like, no, I think I'm in love with your son. And then he says, what, Rick?
Kiss my juicy cherry lips.
Dude, she does. She does.
She does.
But she runs away. She runs away. And I'm like, good, Janet, good. Don't succumb to his seduction.
Right. But how could you? But then how could you resist for so long?
You get another 10 out of 10 scene right now.
Yep.
Spotlight prison dance scene and Ronnie's dick. We didn't talk about this. We said cutaway crotch, but y'all don't understand.
Oof. Ronnie has a stinger.
My boy is existing with his dick barely tucked into his pant leg of his cutaway crotch disco uniform. I'm gonna call it a uniform.
Right.
It's not even a suit or an outfit. It's a uniform, man. Because you know this dude's been doing this for years, just showing off that schlong. I would too.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, hell yeah. You get the, you get this awesome prison spotlight dance scene on the street corner, and it's just random. It doesn't make sense. Like, this movie doesn't, but this is even extra on the don't make sense. It's just there for, it's there for their sake.
Right.
In the next scene, Braden is talking to Janet about their night out with her night out with Ronnie. And he's like, did my dad get smooth with you?
God.
And she's like, no, he just told me about his time with Michael Jackson. He's like, this is when you learn that Big Ronnie's a liar.
A serious liar.
He's like, that's not Michael Jackson. That was just a male prostitute that used to cruise Hollywood.
Right. He tried to shoot himself. Like, he shot himself the other day. Yeah.
He folded his head in half with a bullet.
It said the bullet folded his head in half.
Damn, that's... Damn.
And right here, I want to give our boy Evan a shout-out. Because when we were watching this earlier today... Evan was killing it all day with jokes, but Evan said he must have been a smoothie criminal in reference to Michael Jackson. I'm like, I died when Evan said that shit, dude.
Yep.
Evan's the best. Evan, you a 10 out of 10 too.
Word to Evan.
Hell yeah.
Braden and Janet find out that Oinker died, and Braden decides he's going to find out who the Greasy Strangler is while they're eating Cheeto Puffs. Not the Flamin' Hot kind. Right. I want to point that out. But they are eating Cheeto Puffs, rather.
Fucking Janet is slamming those puffs, bro.
Slamming.
Hell yeah.
I'd be slamming them, too. I ain't going to lie. I love them things.
I probably would have done ate them faster.
They're so greasy.
There wouldn't be none left.
Yeah.
There's just some things you gotta slam.
Mm-hmm.
There's just some things you gotta slam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I like the line where Braden's like, I'm not afraid of dying. He says it, dude, and I believe him. I actually believe him.
Yeah, he's so sincere about everything. He's I would think.
That's a heavy line to deliver, and as far as his character goes and his performance in this movie goes to this point, 100% Codico, I believe this motherfucker when he's like, I'm not afraid of dying, I'm just shit scared for Janet. He's shit scared for Janet, over and over again.
Yeah.
He's worried. They
I'm
know
shit the, scared, Janet.
They know that Taurus died. They know Oinker died. It's like, it's all connecting to him, like, well, there's a clear line here.
When he first finds out, too, like when he first gets the call that Oinker's dead, that's the first thing he says. He hangs up and he's like, okay, so I'm shit scared, Janet.
And he finds like a little pile of grease on the floor and he collects it with a Russian cigarette pack.
Yeah.
It's like, yes. I was questioning if it was that or not at first because I was just like, no, it can't be. And it was, right? So it was.
I guess because the little image on the cigarette pack looked Russian. And then he scoops up that grease. Oh. And so he's got his evidence. And Braden butters his dad's toast with that grease the next morning. And his dad's eating it. Ronnie's like, he loves it. He's like, this is the best grease you've ever made, or whatever he's saying. He's like,
where did you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when Braden starts to suspect, oh shit, it might be my dad. And he's like, what's going on here? He's fucking losing his mind, dude. And he calls Janet for phone sex. This is the big reveal.
I just can't, bro.
Dude, Braden says, let's have phone sex real quick to Janet. And he's like, picture me tickling your clit with a pink feather.
And dude.
She's like, oh yeah, I'm going to cradle your ball sack.
Right.
Yes.
And then the camera starts to pan out and we see, so like the whole movie, we've been seeing Ronnie's junk and it's massive.
Right.
Yep. It's massive. It's absurdly massive.
He's the definition of hung. He's the definition of hung, man.
He's beyond hung to me. Like that's ridiculous. But his son, the fruit of his hung loins, has a micropeen.
It's a micropeen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, I ain't hating. All right, all my fellas out there with the micropeen, rocking.
Which is 6% of men.
Hey, you know, I'm not making a joke about this. I'm just saying earlier in the movie when she was riding him, that makes no sense.
There's no way she, like, it wouldn't have been. Yeah.
There's no penetration happening.
No.
Sorry. I'm sorry. But it's not happening. This movie is making the joke, and I'm acknowledging
That's why he's hurting. She's probably just right on top of it, like moving around.
Crushing it.
That's it. Like crushing it. Hey, maybe that's it.
Braden is getting cucked by his own cock.
Nightclub, folks, where everything comes from.
So there you go. And my boy ejaculates really quick. Ricky, please give us the audio of that scene where he's jacking it and ejaculate. It's the best.
Some quick moans are I don't know.
And his leg is shaking and shit.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh.
And you're goddamn right. I was watching that leg shake. Dude. Nightclub. Ronnie visits Paul, and he invites him. He's like, Paul, we need to go disco dancing. And Paul's like, the kings of disco are back. And then Ronnie farts, and Paul smells it, and he's just like, what the fuck is this? Braden wants to go dancing. He's like, I could use a good boogie woogie. And Paul straight up is like, absolutely not. And I'm like, God damn, Paul, why are you so mean to Braden? Braden's life sucks. Straight up, man. So Braden can't go disco dancing. And they all laugh about it. They just laugh.
For way too long.
Yep. When they're leaving the house, Ronnie emphasizes again that, like, Braden used to be on meds. He's like, they were wonderful, different colors. They were like mints for sad kids.
And they find it so funny.
Braden finds all of Ronnie's artwork. It's a lot of sexual depictions. And again, Evan had a great joke.
Epic.
Evan is like, we were watching the movie.
Immediately,
like, mine. That's what mine looks like. He just said it so fast. I was like, God damn.
He called it.
This is one of my other favorite lines in the whole movie. That night, Braden is fingering Janet from behind.
Oh, God.
Sexy position, by the way. I'm just saying. I like what's happening right here.
Yeah, but
She's like, I feel so sexy, but seriously, imagine if I farted right now.
Just and it's the best.
It's just farting.
I love Janet, man.
This is where Janet's a 10.
I just don't think she knows what's going on, dude. I don't know. I'm not sure what her IQ is. That's all I'm saying. She's just...
I look at her as a free spirit.
I don't
spirit.
Think she's all there, man.
I think Janet's a free spirit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
Rocking that free spirit. All right.
Free spirit for sure.
Later that night, Ronnie comes home from the disco dancing with Paul, and he meets up with Janet outside. She's leaving from her post-fart fingering, and he's like, a lot of cows got milked tonight so we could have fun. Trust me, he says.
Trust me, yes.
Trust me is my favorite part. Trust me. He's like, you want to come in and do something sensual? And she does. Dude.
Every
that won her over, bro. That Ronnie, won her over.
Ronnie is eating out her big muff and covers her in his homemade olive oil, and he's like, "Feels good, y'all." Brayden is listening and crying, and it's so fucked up.
He's in sheer terror.
Yeah,
like when it pans to him, it's like this. This not ringing is going on. There's like a droning noise, like,
yeah.
And he's, yeah. Like, he's fucked up, man. I like that.
The next morning, Ronnie tells Janet, he's like, I'm guessing we fucked all night.
God.
Dude.
And then he opens his blanket, he picks up the blanket to just show the camera his dick.
Yeah.
And says, looks like an enormous mouse head.
to which Evan said, it looks like a bird's beak.
Yeah.
Evan was killing it, man. Evan was killing it.
He was on his game.
So they're going to do their disco tour that morning, and that fucking Ronnie spells it out. I'm officially dating Janet.
Yep.
It's official. It's confirmed. It was sealed with a kiss. No need to talk about this anymore. Like, there's no need to fucking say shit about it. And y'all, another 10 out of 10 is happening here.
Wait. Is this their big argument?
Yeah.
Yes, it's the big argument.
This was my scene, bro. Like, this was, like, this
go
was,
ahead. Go
this
ahead.
This was it.
Take us in there.
I don't know all the words word for word.
Well,
it was more there.
This is when he's like bullshit artist, and he's like horse shit. Yeah. He's like, hold on,
bullshit. I'm detecting
the unmistakable scent of wait for it. And Brayden's like
horse shit.
He's like, your answer is completely wrong.
Yeah.
And he keeps wafting up the smells for like a minute and a half. He's just.
It's about movie. That, I think. Yeah.
This is that uncomfortable comedy again that the movie lingers on and lets you simmer with, cuck, and you fucking have to cuck it up and deal with it. And then he's like, it's horse shit. Like he's like, that's what it's I said.
And,
yeah.
When he finally breaks it down, he's like, bullshit, horse shit. Tiger shit, fat shit. Like he just starts naming all the shits.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah.
My favorite is he says, penguin shit, king penguin shit.
I didn't have to deal with this movie in any way. It was a pleasure.
Ronnie tells him, he's like, last night I claimed her pussy, and then Brayden's like. Yeah, but you never claimed her heart. Eviction.
Yep, eviction.
Immediate eviction. Trevor's evicted.
Damn, bro.
So Janet is fucking feeding Ronnie on his lap in the next scene that night at dinner.
Looking at
Braden is being a what, Cody?
What?
What is he being right now? Watching a his brat. Girlfriend. Watching his girlfriend feed his dad on his lap. What is he being?
Oh, yeah.
What's he being?
Cuck. He's a little cuck.
He's a cuck. The cuckening is beginning.
It's begun.
The cuckening. God. The cuckening has begun.
I want to hear the Mortal Kombat. The Mortal Kombat voice say that.
The cuckening has begun.
Yeah.
I got one.
Okay.
Cuck over here.
There you go, Cody. Hell yes, dude.
That was the one here.
And we're going to cover Mortal Kombat one day. Just listeners and everyone know we're going to do that shit. We have to. Jeremy, shout out to you. You don't listen, but shout out to you.
Yeah, shout out, Jeremy.
So, Jeremy. Janet is feeding Ronnie on his lap while Braden sits there and he's like, I think this is the best meal you've ever made. This could be served at any restaurant on the Sunset Strip. He's just like digging in, dude. Digging in deep, bro. Complimenting his son's meal because he's cucking him. Yep. Straight up cucking his son. Fucked up. They're having sex that night. He's like,
with no semblance of care.
No, he doesn't give a fuck. He's winning. He doesn't care.
Yeah, yes.
That night they're having sex. He's like, I'm going to shoot. Normally I shoot six ropes of cum and then some of the clear stuff. But tonight.
Oh my God.
She calls him the Tarzan of cum jungle.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's our new band name.
And this is probably, we've been talking about a lot, our most quoted, but this might be our most quoted part of the movie in our Discord, Nightclub Discord, link in the show notes. Come join the fucking insanity.
Yes, please.
This is the most, do y'all think this would, this would be probably the most quotable movie y'all ever did.
Yes.
I think
easily,
so. Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it's the whole time. Why not? I mean,
it's consistent the whole time.
Like, my boy, Ronnie's like, I think you could be my forever girl. He calls her a real Hootie Tootie Disco Cutie.
Disco Cutie.
Hootie Tootie Disco Cutie.
And it keeps going.
Braden is in his room, snarling, covering his ears. He breaks into the room, and Ronnie and Janet are in there, still going, Hootie Tootie Disco Cutie. Yep. Hootie Tootie Disco Cutie. Just naked and facing each other and shaking their shoulders. And Braden's like, no, stop. No,
it's too much.
And then Janet turns around, still chanting Hootie Tootie Disco Cutie. And Braden's like, no, Janet, not your ass. And she's using her ass like Ace Ventura. To say Hootie Tootie Disco Cutie
in a close up fucking wide shot, bro.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice ass, Janet.
Yes, thank you, Janet.
Yeah, you see,
and he runs.
Janet's awesome.
He runs
out into the street in the rain and lays down screaming and crying.
Cody, how many times have we talked about, like, where if something unimaginable happens in our life, we're just going to go lay in the ditch? Just go. Am I wrong? Like, we always said, like, if something so unimaginable happened.
And that we can't do shit about it, the only option would be for us to just, we'll just go and
lay down outside.
and yeah.
This is another tie in to something that has been in my memory banks again, that just, I'm like, this movie is hitting on all cylinders, and that just fucking nailed another thing. The alpha chimp snarl.
I like that, man.
In the next scene, that could be an episode title, in my opinion, too. It won't be the episode title. I know what the episode title already is, but Alpha Chimp Snarl could be an episode title. Oh, yeah, you'll find out. But in the next scene, Braden and Ronnie are walking back to the disco work. They're going to do their fucking job. And they look at each other, and Ronnie just displays his teeth and snarls.
And Braden looks so hurt.
Dude.
He looks so hurt while he's looking at his dad snarling at him like that.
This movie goes so many places. God damn.
Goes so many places, but never is like, loses its spot on.
No,
you know, humor. It never does.
No.
It never loses it.
This movie, this, it's a 10. I mean, good God. Okay.
I've already, yeah.
Later that night, Alpha Chimp Dad and Braden are having TV dinner, and the doorbell rings, and he's like, fucking Ronnie is eating a greasy hot dog, and he's like, oh, I think that's my girly, or something like that. It's like, God damn, dude. Janet shows up, so Braden goes and he's writing, and I love what he's writing because he's narrating it. He's doing the fucking. it's a fucking urban cyber thriller called Revenge Incorporated, and the dialogue I wrote down for it was, "You're under arrest, man." Because it's like some Jamaicans. He's talking about their Rasta, the Rasta people or whatever, and it's like, that's so dope. And Braden and Janet meet at the sink after their Ronnie and her sex session, I'm sure. He tells her what he's been writing about, and he tells her, I've been dreaming about you through these long, hot nights.
Yeah, he does say that.
And Ronnie is listening to this love confession from the other side of the room. And Braden tells her, you know, have you missed me? And she's like, yeah. He's like, I love you, Janet. And she's like, don't say that. And he's like, I would write your name on the moon in my own blood, and then I'd marry you.
Damn.
Braden, man. Dude, Braden is a G, man. I love Braden. I love his... He calls Janet a true girl in this movie at some point. And I think Braden has a true heart.
Yeah, he does.
He's a true boy.
He's a very innocent boy.
He's a boy. A good true boy, not a man. Not a man. No. I'd beat my dad's fucking ass. I'd have beat the brakes off my dad with the belt.
With the belt, boy.
You goddamn right. So
I'm gonna write your name on the moon, and my blood is really pimp. Is a really
it's
pimp
so
line.
Cosmic, dude.
Yeah,
that's cosmic like as
pimp,
fuck.
Pimp as hell. Like that says, I love you. Like it does.
So the nightclub is not only cosmic spicy, but now we're getting pimp. I like it.
All that cooked juice.
Oh, shit. We're getting G'd out.
Gonna fucking fill up a water bottle with that cooked juice. A gallon of cooked juice. Oh, fuck it. A tanker of cook.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Pimp my cook.
My cook. Oh, my God.
Damn, dude.
That's true.
That's right, boy. You do one more, you're gonna summon cuck juice.
Don't say his name five times. Cuck juice, cuck juice, cuck juice, cuck juice. Dude, we've created a new fucking urban legend right here. We've created a new cryptic cuckle juice. Oh my God.
It's too much. It's too much.
Cuck juice. Sounds so nasty.
Yeah, it's Janet, a horrible word.
Janet finds some grease on the floor, and she smells it.
And tastes it. Of course she tastes it.
Of course she tastes
it. I knew it, too. I was like, she's going to taste it. That's going to happen.
You hear the car wash going off, and Big Paul's like, are the brushes stiff enough for you, Ronnie?
Jeez.
Want to make sure you know, like, everything's all right in there? Are we going disco dancing, Ronnie? And for no reason, RIP.
Big Paul didn't do shit wrong, man. Nothing. What Big Paul did, all he ever did was laugh at your son with you. You know, like that's all he ever did. Why are you killing him, man?
Dude, Big Paul gets fucking strangled. His head gets danced with in this scene.
And then shot at a basketball hoop only to miss.
Bro, this movie has dismemberment and failed shots.
Yes.
Bricks.
Braden reports, and I had a question about this when we were watching it today, and I was told no further inquiries here, so we'll get to that. But my question is, Braden reports that he thinks he knows that the Greasy Strangler is his father. He calls this in to the police. Who happens to intercept this phone call but Big Ronnie? Big Ronnie gets this call. And Big Ronnie shows up
with the long ass fingernails and he's
a blatant disguise
in a disguise. Yes. And it is obvious that it's fucking Big Ronnie, but goddamn Braden and Janet do not recognize him.
I don't know how, but I was like, Janet though, don't like, okay.
Neither one will recognize him, and
they let him
he
run
goes
in.
In, and not only does he look just like your dad, but he goes in straight to a pile of grease on the floor. It's supposed to be evidence, and he starts rubbing it on his face and on his glasses, and they still don't understand that this is Braden's dad.
They think this guy, this guy is like an agent named Jody, right? My boy leans down into the fucking grease and starts rubbing those long nails into the grease, his fingernails. Then he's rubbing it on his glasses like, Jody needs to oil his glasses. God damn. Your dada may well be the Greasy Strangler.
Yes.
But there is insufficient evidence, so I can no longer pursue this case. Please end all inquiries here. And they're like, well, what about, please end all inquiries here. And they're like, but what about this? Please end. And he points his long fingernail at Janet, and she's like, all inquiries here. He's like, correct. And like a greasy Nosferatu, he fucking leaves. He goes outside and does a costume change in front of the big tree outside the house. He pulls his clothes out the mailbox and his shoes, and he fucking changes.
Just right there in front of everyone. Broad daylight.
That costume change leads to nothing, because the next scene, Braden and Janet are talking on top of Braden's bed, and Ronnie is hiding under there like a big cuck, cucking it up.
Under the bed, hiding. Yep.
That's how
the reverse cucking has happened.
Dude, amateur cuck watches. Professional cuck hides under the bed. Straight up. You don't want to be there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
You're there, but you're not. You know what I'm saying? Professional cook. And he tells her that he comes out from under the bed, and he's like, you know, the only reason you're here is because you came from my long, juicy prickus, and I forbid you to marry. Like, he's just everything.
He says, I shot you out of my big, long prickus.
And Janet's like, well, he's going to move in with me immediately, and he can twat on my twat anytime. And if he craps on the bed, I'm going to rub it on my tits.
Yes. I love her, bro.
Exactly. Janet is so down now, dude. It's so funny.
Janet is down, bro.
She's down to clown, because they both start doing the hootie tootie disco cutie at Ronnie.
They they're doing it, and they both look so mad at him. Like, I just love the close-ups of their faces, but hers in particular, because she's so animated and mad. And even though there's small movements she's doing with her shoulder, her face is so intense.
It's great.
It's crazy.
Braden tells her about the time that Ronnie was like,
shot some shit on his ass.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna cut the cheese.
Yeah, and then he yelled, someone's about to cut the cheese.
He said the turd did a loop de loop and landed on the bed. It was like a brown finger pointing right at me. So if anyone's a bed shitter, it's him. And out of nowhere, so our boy Ronnie leaves the room growling and baying like a lamb.
Yep.
And then he comes back, and this shit killed me on the last watch. This last watch, first watch, I don't remember this part like that. This last watch, he runs back in the room, bitch slaps Braden hard.
Full of grease. Yep.
Full of grease, and just takes Janet away. And I'm just like, it happened so fast. It's amazing. And then what follows is the transformation of the movie and transformation of the character, where I don't lose my love for Braden, but I get why everyone told me wait till the end. I get that. So Braden goes into the closet. He finds this vat of grease. This fucking oil drum. Walter White.
I can be greasy too.
He's like,
I can be greasy too.
You're not the only one that can get greasy. I can be a greasy strangler too. My boy greases up and comes out. And Ricky, what's he doing when he comes out the house?
He comes out the house covered in grease, naked, but with his glasses on. Yep. And he's like chittering, like a gopher. With he's like rabies, a little, maybe, or a chihuahua.
He's like a little chipmunk.
You know? Yeah. Baring his teeth and chittering, almost. It's good. I like that he makes animal noises, too. That's a good father-son connection for them.
He goes to the movie theater, the horror house from earlier with Big Thaddeus, and he finds his dad in the theater strangling Janet. He walks up and immediately starts strangling Janet.
Yep.
His dad moves aside and lets him do it. And Janet's getting strangled, and guess what happens to Janet?
Her eyes pop out her head and land directly in Big Ronnie's hands.
They have a grand old time eating those eyeballs together, and they both go get car washed. Yep. Screaming and brushing and screaming.
Yep.
And then the movie has its fake end, or to me, what would be a good ending to this movie if you think there's no other ending to this movie?
Right.
You get the beach walk, and Ronnie is telling Braden, like, we never really got along, right? And Braden's like, no, not really. And by not really, I mean, nah. Like, they like each other. They like each other. I like this. This is some bonding. It's cool.
It's nice. Yeah.
Even after everything we've seen, it still feels nice because I like these characters. And then
even after they killed Janet, and like, even when they started to say fuck her, I was like, yeah, like, well, I don't know.
This
kept taking me along.
Ronnie is kind of expressing how he stuck around because Braden was like a little, he's like, you were a little baby. And
you were the cutest baby. I used to love cradling you.
And the camera.
And then he's like, Braden's like, you big old cornball. And he's like, I was, but you were a baby.
Yeah.
A tiny baby.
And the camera pans up into the sky. And I'm like, if you hit the credits right here, dope.
Same. Yes,
but
I was down, but
the movie decides to be the movie that it is, and you get Ronnie being a bullshit artist again.
Yeah,
he's telling Braden about his baby story. He's like, you know, when you were a baby, we stayed on John Travolta's yacht. And John Travolta said, you were a good kid. You had good energy. And Braden's like, oh, shit. Well, if John Travolta said that, that's amazing. And Ronnie's like, I could have moved to New Orleans and opened up a disco place with expensive drinks. And it was going to be called John and Ron's Dance Jungle. But I didn't want to leave you behind. He wanted to stay there with his kid. And I like that.
Right.
he's like, are you glad I moved in with you, Dad? And Ronnie says, and I love this line, I'd rather be here with you than in New Orleans with John Travolta. So cool.
Yep.
Such a good line. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then Cody, they start talking about Janet.
She was gross.
She was disgusting, okay. Wasn't she?
Yeah, she was kind of gross, I guess.
Her pussy hair was dry like grass.
And Braden's like,
and what's it?
Braden's, yeah, like you see in the African documentaries, all dry and orangey.
Why
is it all the orangey, wildlife man? Documentaries.
Why, dude? Why are they going so hard on Janet at this point? Like, now I feel bad for Janet. Why?
And then, like,
she was not gross.
I don't think that either.
Hell no. No.
It's so after funny. They talk it's about funny.
Her vagina hair. He's like, fuck her. We don't need her. Like, just
straight up.
He said, Ronnie says, she faked all her orgasms with me. She definitely faked all of yours.
Okay. Like, she definitely faked all of yours. He had to put that on there.
I like this little bit where they draw a heart in the sand,
yep.
And then they come up with a plan.
Let's kill Ricky Prickles.
Let's kill Ricky Prickles. Let's kill
Ricky Prickles.
Yeah. This movie ends in a out of nowhere epilogue where you see Greasy Ronnie and Greasy Braden chasing this character we've never seen before through the woods. And it's Ricky Prickles. And he's like, you'll never catch me. I'm a professional sprinter.
Yeah.
But then he trips.
Right.
Like you do in a horror movie. You trip and fall down.
Right.
And they rip his ears off and blood is spraying everywhere. And they're eating it. And what do they do with him? They eat him.
They eat like his eyes. They eat everything, dude.
They eat him.
Don't they start a fire? Aren't they like cooking him?
They're living in the woods. They're walking through the woods, hiding under leaves, holding hands.
Covered in that color. You could see like
just two still in degrees. God.
And then out of nowhere, you see Braden and Ronnie tied up to posts in the woods. In the woods again. Still, rather.
While they're watching it too, though, right? Like,
well, yes.
The greasy versions of Ronnie and Braden are watching their normal counterparts being tied up to these posts, getting shot up by a firing squad.
An old man firing squad that dresses funny.
And then the top of their heads explode off and grease and confetti come flying out.
Yep.
It takes Ronnie's head a little pause to explode before it does. Like it stalls and it makes a little sound first. And they weren't dead yet from being pumped dozens of rounds in their chest and fucking abdomen.
So many shots, much blood and gore. And then the movie ends with the father and son greasy duo becoming the apes from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yep, walking towards the camera menacingly with spears and making animal noises.
That was the Greasy Strangler from 2016, and we all got cooked. Holy shit.
Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you, Ricky, for this. Glad you all liked it, man.
Yeah. Dude.
Final thoughts and ratings, Cody. Go first.
Yeah. It's fucked. No, somebody else go.
Plug
I'm going to cuck it.
You're going to cuck
it? Yeah, boy, he's going to cuck it.
Okay, you watch. I'll go first. Unless Trev wants to. Trev, you want to go?
It's a fucking nightclub 10.
We all know. We all
I
know.
I mean, we all know what this movie is already.
Yeah, boy.
But final thoughts on it? You got some final thoughts on this movie?
I mean, it was fucking hilarious. If you're going to go over the top, go over the top.
Like you Stallone.
The damn thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a 10 that's out of 10 true. From you, then, Trev.
Yes.
Thank you, Trev. Thank you for your Thanks, 10 Trev. Inches.
I'll go next if Cody's not ready. He's still cucking.
No, I'll go. No, go ahead.
I can pretty much watch this movie anytime, dude. I love it. No matter what's going on,
I
put this on, I know I'm going to be laughing out loud.
We're all going to final thoughts it right now. Yeah, this movie is insane. It's amazing. The Tim and Eric vibes are so strong.
On point and strong, yeah.
And if you're a fan of Tim and Eric, and we are, it's there. It's there. It's beyond belief. If I could have a license plate that just said Tim and Eric, I'd put it on this movie and let it watch it drive off in the distance while it shouts from the fucking window that I'm leaving because you shit on my leg. This movie is a fucking 10 out of 10, and I'm calling bullshit artist on anyone bullshit who says artist. It's not. This movie's a 10.
Aside from what it is, the humor, it's also really well directed, like shot.
Yeah,
it's got great shots, like when they were all, on the beach sitting. It reminded me of Barton Fink. That shot. I don't know if that's what they were trying to do, but that's the kind of vibes I got. Like,
yeah,
it was a beautiful shot. It was a beautiful shot. Yeah, and like I said earlier, it hits its marks consistently. It never drops like a way. It's a 10.
It's
10. And this could definitely for example, like I'll watch the Big Lebowski to not like every time, of course, but that's like one of my cheer up movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
this could definitely be one of my cheer up movies.
I can see it, dude. Yeah, that's a good place to put it with movies like that, like movies that you could pretty much just watch anytime if that's your time of humor.
I like that. I like that term, a cheer up movie, like a movie that gets you back. Yeah,
no, it's true because literally, I know anytime I put it on, I'm gonna be laughing out loud.
So like Trev said, he already knew it. We already knew it before we ever sat down and did it. Yeah. It's a nightclub 10 out of 10. Everybody loves this shit. Greasy Strangler. If you've listened this far and you didn't fucking know, go watch the movie. It's a 10.
Please watch it. Yeah.
Please watch it. It's so good. Thank you for listening to the nightclub's coverage of the Greasy Strangler and
ha 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 ha
ha ha ha ha ha ha ha. Yuck, cuck.
Embrace the boogie woogie if you've got the blues.
Make sure you walk through the car wash.
I'd rather jerk off with grease than strangle people with it.
That's good.
There
that's
you a go. Good idea. Yeah. Yeah.
Stay spooky and stay greasy, bitches.
You will not be able to stay home. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised.
This right here for the number one shit with your number one. You ain't number one, just another one. Now everybody saying that they number one.
Ring the alarm, the caterpillar keeps firing. Oh, we in the war. Where butterflies keep dying. Ah.
I'm a product of Parker Lewis and Kubiak. If I didn't do this, where in the fuck would you be at? See, there's a difference between us. When I spit hit arenas, you would drip from my penis. I eat lions and sip hyenas. You number one when it come to slaughtered mics. I'm trying to be number one in my son and daughter life. All you niggas, my little rapper babies. Y'all my children, y'all bit my shit and contracted rabies. Don't you grade me next to these rappers, baby, that's degrading. My style got so many different facets, I'm switching to so many different passions. I'm skipping class to be fascinating. My pen is like Big Ben and shit, just a classic waiting. Your favorite rapper come at me, I'll just decapitate him. Out here congratulating these half-mans who had they highs. These rappers only one they match just because they strategize. I bring Attica to these patterns and here's my battle cry.
Ring the alarm, the caterpillar's firing. Oh, we in a war where butterflies keep dying. Ah,
hey. It's right here for the number one. Number one shit with your number one. You ain't number one, just another one. Now everybody saying that the number one kid, think your number one quit. Number one song, get your number one chick. Number one fly with your number one kid. When it's all done, then your number gon' switch.
Hold up, wait a minute, guess what I'ma never do? Show so much respect to you, that I feel like we friends. So now we no longer competitors. That could be the death of you. Never let someone who's not as smart as you gash you up and tell you something you never knew. Always stay professional, you always gon' make revenue. Don't let people next to you that don't want the best for you. It's completely normal to hold on to a regret or two. I do what I wanna do, they do what I let them do.
Everything these niggas be saying is a fucking lie. It's nothing I can say to you that is real. Remember when you praising the butterfly. Don't you ever disrespect the fucking caterpillar.
This right here for the number one. Number one shit with your number one. You ain't number one, just another one. Now everybody saying that the number one kid, think your number one quit. Number one song, get your number one chick. Number one fly with your number one kid. When it's all done, then your number gon' switch.
You're looking at a tiller, the psychopath, the killer, the caterpillar. Don't tell me when I'm supposed to rap until, especially when your favorite rapper ain't even half as ill as ever. Still attracts a banana peel, attack of the silverback gorilla. You're having a little trouble fathoming this is actually happening. Like Anderson Silva back when he snapped the shin in half and then had this shit hanging by a flapper skin after he tried to plant the shit back on the mat again. Had to pin on baddie like eyelids when they're blinking a lot. You copy me, but you're not. You can't be butterflies. My offsprings are just moss. I see that thing, I'ma squash it and rip the wings of it off. So ring the alarm, pull the extinguishers off the wall, set the sprinklers off. Like Jada Pinkett and Queen Latifah to the shingles. Come off the roof, wheel shout at the ceiling. Slaughterhouse in the building, middle fingers aloft. Say what I think when I rhyme in ink pen. I talk in a language I speak is my mind. Kingpin and penguin combined. Spit like it's king of the dot. A singular thought I think I will help you distinguish apart the frogs from the cream of the crop.
Wait a minute, hold up like a flashcard. Damn dog, Zach copying or paying homage? Sad because dad taught you to rap as a damn toddler. Yeah. My dad is your grandfather. Yeah. I have to rehatch on you. Come back as a black wasp. Yeah. Half yellow jacket you can't swat a Sasquatch. Dancing on top of an ant. Trample it and stomp it. Smash it and stand on it. Damn it, I can't stop it. The rap is a badge and I'm going in like a tampon in this bitch. It's a manslaughter. Stamping out grasshoppers. You can't be no rap gods. In fact, you're exact opposite. You make a wax song and can't hold a candle. But even Danielson wax off. You jack offs. Need to come to grips like a hand job. The boom bap is coming back with an axe to mumble rap, lumberjack with a hacksaw. Number one, but my pencils are number twos, cause that's all I do's when I'm poop is my suit. And I'm on the ground like a prostitute when I'm dropping a deuce. And when I'm producing them lyrical bowel movements, these beats are like my saloon, cause these bars always got my stools in them. And I don't need Metamucil to loosen them. Bitch, it is real like I poop Jerusalem. I'm about to go spin another cocoon, and I'm cutting you from your mother's womb, then I'm flushing you.